It's 10 o'clock. Neil Rogers is coming up next.
The views expressed on the previous programs are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those...
Well, can it really be Friday? Hallelujah. Let's have a party in our pants.
The biggest names, the best.
Bobby King.
You're listening to Sports Radio 560 WQAM, Miami, Fort Lauderdale. WQAM presents the Neil Rogers Show.
That was up 147 points. Oh, hallelujah.
560 in Dade and Broward. In other counties.
The selling opportunity, Maria.
877-785-NEIL. Or pound 560 on your AT&T.
Got the big races from Gulfstream this afternoon later on.
The opinions expressed by Neil, his guests, or his callers do not represent
not yet.
Those of WQAM.
Oh, I mean, they might have one, but they haven't told me.
We don't know about
the Neil Rogers Show on 560 WQAM.
It's Friday, you bastard. She's got a tuchus to wipe, and she don't care. She says that the wedding friends are causing her stress, yeah. I don't know how she will fit in her wedding dress. She's got a tuchus to wipe. She's got a tuchus to wipe.
Rectum.
We make a good pair.
Oh, there's Arlen Specter. He's still looking for that magic bullet on the stretcher at Parkland Hospital. Lunatic, crazy person, bug-eyed fool. Anyway, it's 10:03 at 560 WQAM. Happy Friday to you. And while the debate on the stimulus package goes on, you might be interested in this story.
Okay.
Wall Street CEOs and investment bankers charged prostitutes on corporate cards, Madam says.
All right, then.
Hey, at least somebody's having a good time at our expense. It says Visa, MasterCard, or American Express, or maybe a credit card from J.P. Morgan Chase. Wall Street CEOs, lawyers, bankers, and media executives chalked up thousands of dollars in prostitution charges on their corporate credit cards, swiping their cards for $2,000 an hour. $2,000 an hour prostitutes, according to a New York madam who pleaded guilty last year. Kristen Davis, the madam in question, went public to ABC News this week. ABC is going to be broadcasting her interview tonight at 10 p.m. Davis says she has a list of 9,800 clients, many of whom she says New York prosecutors deliberately avoided when taking her case, even though she offered them her annotated client list. in what's sure to create a media firestorm parallel to that when Washington, D.C. madam announced that she was publishing her client list, which included at least one senator. Davis's comments come at a time where incredible ire is already focused on Wall Street and banking executives. The pressure for her to release the list will certainly be immense and intense. But the pressure from New York's finest prosecuting team was nearly zero, Davis said. They showed no interest, alleging that they ignored that numerous corporate titans had used her services. Bunch of whoremongering goofballs. Some of these guys I was invoicing on my corporate credit cards, she said. I was writing up monthly bills for computer consulting, construction expenses, all of these things.
All of these things.
I was invoicing them monthly so they could get it by their accountants. District Attorney Robert Morgenthau, a spokesman, was said to have no comment on the handling of the Davis case or her allegations. She provided ABC with a printout of her computerized client list, the same one she says she offered the DA. Among the names the network says have confirmed, a vice president of NBC Universal owned by General Electric, a part owner of a Major League Baseball team who loves Kelsey, the CEO of one of the country's largest private equity firms who met Cameron at the Peninsula Hotel, a major New York real estate developer who, according to the list, will come to the door wearing women's panties, a partner at a Wall Street law firm, Kravis Swain Moore, looking for a party girl to come fully equipped, spend a total of $20,000, an investment banker from Lehman Brothers who saw Kelsey and Keeley together and later saw Aria and Skyler at the same time, an investment banker at J.P. Morgan Securities who loves Brooke and spent $41,600. An investment banker at Goldman Sachs who only wanted all-American girls and spent $27,000. A managing director from Merrill Lynch who saw Lana using the name Natalie. And a managing director from Deutsche Bank who called about seeing Natalie again. ABC said that for their broadcast, the individuals mentioned above, they couldn't confirm the payments were made on corporate cards. Davis told the network she disguised the charges in various ways so they appeared to be legitimate business expenses when accountants sifted through credit card statements. One CEO, she said, ordered her to send him invoices for roof repair on a warehouse, not a whorehouse, a warehouse, to disguise the charges for prostitutes from corporate funds. Davis says she hasn't yet decided whether to release the full 9,800 name list publicly. 9,800 names, they're screwing their brains out, and they're screwing the public. How does it feel to get screwed, huh? Pretty good.
Not really.
Pretty bad. Got a couple of dead people here for you. Oh, there's Harry Reid.
Political spectrum.
Oh, my God. The fumfier of the century. Let's get him and Susan Collins together and see which one can whine the most. Try the whine, guys. Got a couple of dead musicians. Nobody ever heard of either one of them, but that's okay. Because my dead guy specialist, Boz Florida, he's on top of these things.
All right.
Dewey Martin dies at 68.
Who?
Drummer for? Come on, let's see if you know your crap.
I don't.
Oh, Buffalo Springfield.
Okay.
This is also all chopped off on the right. It's not just the emails that get chopped off. It's everything that I print.
That's why I'm thinking that it's the printer software that wasn't installed either properly or at all for that printer.
Yeah, and?
And nothing.
Dewey Martin, drummer for the short-lived but long-resonating rock band Buffalo Springfield, whose career after the group split never ignited like those of his former bandmates Neil Young and Stephen Stills. He's dead. He was 68. Dead. He was found dead Sunday by a roommate in his Van Nuys apartment. Longtime friend Lisa Lennis said Thursday, cause of death hasn't been determined. We believe it was natural causes, Lennis said, adding he had suffered health problems in recent years and performed publicly only sporadically. Martin was one of the founding members, along with Young, Still, singer-songwriter, guitarist Richie Furay, and bassist Bruce Palmer of Buffalo Springfield, a key progenitor of rock music. It's chopped off. Country rock. The group existed for just 2 years, recorded only 3 studio albums before disbanding amid rising tensions and musical ambitions of the band's talented but explosive leaders. It's a great loss, says Mickey Dolenz, drummer for the Monkees. Dolan said he became close friends with Martin in the late 60s when both were working in and around Hollywood. He was a great drummer. It's a well-known fact, and he was a really nice guy. But a beep, but a boop, but a bop. Martin played on Buffalo Springfield songs, including For What It's Worth, Mr. Soul, Rock and Roll Woman, and Broken Arrow. We all know For What It's Worth, the other one who ever heard him. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of the group in 1997. And also dead...
Yeah.
Steel guitarist for Buck Owens and Rick Nelson, Tom Brumley, dies at 73. Tom Brumley, a legendary steel guitarist who contributed to the Bakersfield sound of Buck Owens and the Buckaroos in the 1960s, before spending 10 years performing with Rick Nelson, has died. He was 73. Brumley died Tuesday at Northeast Baptist Hospital in San Antonio, 8 days after suffering a heart attack, said his wife, Rolene Brumley. Hey, Roly. Roly-poly. I wonder if she's roly-poly, you think?
I'll see. I'll find out.
During his years with Owens from 63 to 69, Brumley traveled the world and played on landmark recordings such as Together Again, I've Got a Tiger by the Tail, and Act Naturally. Brumley, whose pure steel sound was known in the music industry as the Brumley Touch, received an Academy of Country Music Award for number one steel guitarist in 1966. The Buckaroos. Hey, Buckaroos. He left Owens' band in 1969 after Rick Nelson invited him to play steel guitar with his band for his Live at the Troubadour album. It was a godsend being asked to join Rick's band. I still think Garden Party was a highlight of my recording career, he told Canada's Edmonton Journal in 2005. Initially, I only accepted the offer to do four shows with him at the Troubadour, but I enjoyed it so much I stayed with him for 10 years. Brumley said that Nelson, who died in an airplane crash New Year's Eve 1985, was a great guy. We had such a close relationship that I still stay in touch with his boys. You know his boys, the Nelsons?
Mm-hmm.
What is their name? I don't know.
Ozzy and
Strange.
Harriet.
No, no, the Nelson twins. What is their names?
Gunder. Yeah, and I don't know.
Brumley?
That was your bag, not mine, baby.
What do you mean it was my bag?
You're the one that liked them, not me.
I liked them just fine.
I thought they were
just a real pretty guy with long, long, pretty hair.
Yeah.
Like to run my fingers through that hair. We had him on the air on WYOD on the phone, the Nelson boys.
Yeah, if you've seen him lately, you won't want to.
I'm sure of that. Here's the poll. And, of course, we were right. We had our thumb right on it. What ethnic style of food is the best? 503 votes. Italian wins hands down. Your pantalones.
That's what I
205. Believe. Italian. Nobody don't like Italian.
That's right.
And, of course, when we say Italian, that covers a lot of territory. Everything from
sure
Franco-American
does.
To Chef Boyardee to spaghetti with meatballs, which Italian-American.
Right. To a nice veal chop.
Yeah, veal parmesan. Oh, today is the pick the pony thing. Do we have a winner yet?
Yes, I understand his name is Kevin.
Kevin. Well, I'm going to try for you, Kevin. It's the second race at Gulfstream. My pick, I'll tell you right now, is the four horse, Langley, ridden by Alan Garcia. Now, Alan Garcia, do you think he'd be like Mexican or what?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, is that a Cuban Garcia?
Of course.
It is?
Sure.
How about Mike Garcia, who pitched for the Indians in 1954?
What about him?
He's, I'm sure, dead.
Oh.
Vic Rashi with the Yankees. Allie Reynolds, the chief. Anyway, Italian 205, Cuban 49, American 47. American cuisine, like burgers and dogs.
Yeah,
even
that, that covers a lot of territory, too.
Mexican 43. Now, I wonder if they're thinking of taco smell when they say Mexican.
I'm sure they're thinking all of it.
Thai 36, Chinese 32, Indian 21, Punjabi. Get that curry out, baby.
How Thai is ahead of Chinese, I'll never understand.
What?
How Thai is ahead of Chinese, I'll never understand.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me. Well, these are Suds, you know, Thai.
Right.
Ramen or Thai food is better than...
Coconut milk.
We had the chinks for lunch yesterday. It was pretty damn good. Indian 21, French 17, Greek 14. Yeah, these people are into Greek, I believe that. Japanese 14, Caribbean 9, mon. Jewish 9. We probably should have put Delhi.
Way to put that,
food.
Like in parentheses, or Jewish/deli or something like that?
No, I was thinking like deli. Why does it have to be Jewish?
Well, because everything else on here is an ethnic word, you know? What ethnic style?
Okay, Jew food, 9. Puerto Rican, 7. British, 2. None for Polynesian, Russian, or African. Polynesian, man, you haven't lived to the end of Polynesian
food. I know, it's phenomenal.
Trader Vic's, Mauna Loa,
Chintiki. The Maikai, still going
the
strong.
The Maikai, there you go. It's mixed reviews.
Had some catered food from there last year.
Yeah.
It was great. It was phenomenal.
The Maikai. Haven't been there in about at least 200-300 years.
O'Neal! It's Friday, you bastard.
Jesus Christ. Movie star. Are you as Mel Gibson says you are?
Mel Gibson used to be the star of Lethal Weapon. Now he's making movies.
The FDA sure did a hell of a job on that peanut butter salmonella.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're on top of it. They'll get with it in a jiffy.
I mean, even people like us who don't eat peanut butter aren't safe because they went and put it in everything.
Yeah, well, like in the Snickers bars, there's peanuts.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Everywhere you look, there's a little hidden peanuts.
Right.
Peanuts.
You're right.
Kathy says, you got my curiosity up when you mentioned that story of a private club for cannibals. I seem to remember something like that, too. Knew it wasn't to serve man, as someone told you before, and The Outer Limits was more of a bug-eyed monster series than The Twilight Zone was. Did find these examples, though. In the episode Our Town of The X-Files, based on several historical and popular myths about cannibalism, the protagonist FBI agents find that an entire community in Arkansas had been kidnapping outsiders and eating them for decades, in the belief that it lengthens their lifespans. They've been taught to do this by the town patriarch. In the Torchwood episode, Countryside, it's discovered that a whole village of cannibals kills and eat travelers every 10 years as part of the harvest. Do either of these sound familiar to you? No. No, because what I'm talking about was way before X-Files, Torchwood, etc.
Yeah,
no,
never,
it was definitely either Hitchcock or Outer Limits or Twilight Zone or one of these.
All of these things.
I'm pretty sure it was Hitchcock.
That sounds
remember
right.
Remember Alfred Hitchcock Presents?
Yep.
That.
Mostly boring, that show.
What?
That particular show. I mean, his movies were good, but that show was really hit or miss for me.
Well, what do you know about it? It was on in the 50s. It was on before you were born.
Nevertheless, I saw it in syndication.
Oh, syndicate my ass.
Oh, man.
Oh, by the way, I found this online.
Your ass?
About.com radio, and it doesn't have a date on it. The 25 greatest radio talk show hosts of all time. You ready? Strap yourself in. I got to blow my nose, though.
Oh. Okay.
Oh. Yeah. One moment, please. Let me say it again. Can I do it?
Go ahead.
Oh.
Oh, sorry.
See, I had to play myself.
I was busy.
You were busy blowing the trombone. Anyway, the 25 greatest talk show host of all time. Oh, this is old, as compiled by Talkers Magazine. This is the old one. It's from back before Joe Bell came along and destroyed the show and my career and your income and my income and our lives. That's what you do, Jolly Joe. You destroy people's lives. And it's always a big joke. Ho, 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 that Neo so... Yeah. It's not just radio shtick, it's the truth. You are a destroyer. A destroyer of the radio station, a destroyer of people's lives, a destroyer of our incomes, a destroyer of everything. Oh, yeah, but there's a big depression and recession. Yeah. Fire everybody. Anyway, number one, Rush Limbaugh. Number two, Howard Stern. Number three, Don Imus. Number four, Larry King.
No!
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Number five, Sally Jesse, Raphael. Number six, Bruce Williams. Number seven, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, that hateful right-wing bitch. Number eight, Barry Gray. Number nine, Barry Farber. No Barry Jackass. Number 10, Dr. Joy Brown. Number 11, Michael Jackson. Number 12, Art Bell. Number 13, Ron Owens. Number 14, Jerry Williams. Number 15,
Neil, God.
Neil Rogers. Number 16, Bob Grant. Number 17, Long John Neville. Number 18, David Brudnoy, dead. Number 19, Arthur Godfrey. Well, a lot of these are dead. Number 20, Bill Balance. Number 21, Neil Bortz. Oh, God, what a tub of right-wing garbage he is. 22, J.P. McCarthy. 23, Gene Shepard. 24, Gene Burns. And number 25, G. Gordon Liddy. Oh, God. So this is back when I could have been a contender, when I was number 15 in the universe. Of
wow.
All time.
Mm-hmm.
Number 15 of all time. Talkers Magazine. A real rag, a real piece of garbage. That was invented by, for, and about a handful of egotistical talk show people. Jerry Williams was one of them. Alice Rantel, I think, was involved in that, although he didn't make the cut. I don't know if he got cut, but then again, who would care?
Right.
Oh, Henry Finkelstein is back. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. oh boy, what a bad piece of news this is. But I better print it out. Well, we tried everything to get this thing to print out, and I did do the Windows update. So thanks so much for those of you who were giving me instructions about doing the Windows update and installing this.
That wasn't it.
And it had nothing to do with it. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. No. Although Brandon said that the Windows update won't really do anything until you defrag. And, of course, that takes a lot. I could do that this weekend. I could defrag my computer.
Yeah, go ahead. I don't think that, I mean.
Go ahead.
I don't think it's going to make a difference.
Well,
why
not?
More ideas, because I think that the problem is that your printer software is not properly installed or installed.
Well, I'll
at all.
Be danged.
At some point, yes.
Yeah, this one's all chopped off bad on the right margin. It says, today is the third day of my 12 to 16-month vacation. I'm loving life. George, I got some blueberry, man. It's crazy good.
They were here this morning, over for Power 96, apparently.
Who was there?
Oh, Bluebell? I thought that's what he said.
No, Blueberry.
Blueberry? I don't understand.
I don't understand either, but this is a crazy person.
I see.
Neil, did you see Geldy screaming last night? No, here they carried on the package. They carried the Islander telecast. Panthers won again last night, 3-2. They beat the Islanders. I had to mute him out and listen to your archives while watching Panthers kick some ass. Richard Zednik saved us. Neil, do you think Bowmister will finish the year with the Panthers or somewhere else? Somewhere else. My God, it's crazy how good this show is when smoke some of that blueberry, George. Oh, it's
oh,
smoking.
See.
I haven't stopped laughing all day. The first song, my girl got a tuchus too wide. I love you guys. You guys make my day. Oh, this is a crazy guy. Crazy Jew. Henry Finkelstein. Finkelstein. Stein. Neil, could you please play anything with Moe and Geldy? The longer, the better. George, I love your grab-ass pictures. You got your little hands on a lot of hot bitches, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you have your little hands on a lot of hot bitches?
Yes, I do.
Good. Is there any way that maybe some listeners could sign some kind of petition to get George on that 2 to 4 hour? No. Man, that would be great. Who cares about Combine? Stupid little Josh Dirrell and Jolly Joe Bell do, you morons. Love you, Neil, and especially George, Professor Dr. Henry K. Finkelstein. Oh, how sad. What a world it is. Although it's sunny, tomorrow it's going to be plus 5 or 6. Here. That's like 42, 43. Do you have any idea what a heat wave that's going to be?
No.
I don't see any emails yet about my selection in the second race at Gulfstream today. Number 4, Langley. Alan Garcia, by the way, is Peruvian. You know any Peruvians?
I don't, as a matter of fact.
You don't?
I don't. I don't think I've ever met a Peruvian that I can
Well, that's
call.
Good. That means you can't dislike Peruvians because you don't know any.
Good point.
It's like Jamaicans. I mean, in your case, you got different, you know, you probably do some business.
No. But my best
but
friend's
in my
since
case,
high school.
I don't know any Jamaicans.
I only know one. He's the squarest butt plug of a human being you'll ever meet in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's your good buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still alive?
Yeah. Why wouldn't he be?
Well, he didn't die from fat. You don't see too many fat Jamaicans, man.
He would have to indulge something. He would have to be, you know, have a vice of any kind.
He's boring, huh?
He's incredibly boring and bland.
1027 at 560 WQAM.
It's Fatwa Friday, you bastards.
Two at 560 WQM. Now, I want you to listen very closely to this.
Okay.
Because you're the technical maven, although so far you haven't been able to even come close to solving that problem.
I'm sorry, yeah.
Neil, if your printer is an HP, which it is not, Then they have a problem where it disappears if you open Word. Supposedly they're working on a solution, says Steve. No, it's not an HP. It's a brother.
Right.
So it's a mother.
What you're going to get now, I'm just warning you, is a lot of really good advice from people that don't know what is going on or what we've already gone through and tried.
Uh-huh.
Just warning you.
Well, I sure did update, install
right.
all those Windows updates.
For all the technical mavens out there, they ought to know that we're using the exact same printer, the exact same operating system, the
right,
exact same computers. Right. We're using everything all the same, and yours is doing something, and mine is doing something else, and I have options that you don't.
Hey, by the way, you forgot to remind me to start invoicing them for all the office supplies I buy here, all the fax paper and the computers
it's
and
not too late.
Stuff.
Don't forget to start invoicing.
Bastards. Just unbelievable. Oh, well, everybody had to take a cut, even George Beasley. Oh, geez, let's take up a collection for the Beasleys. Grave robbers. That's what all these owners are, grave robbers. They use you, they abuse you, and then they discard you like toilet paper. The Dow's up 135 points. I bet you Maria's going to be chiming in. Isn't today the day the mythical Maria Bartiromo show starts? Fart Fest Fridays.
I did not know.
Well, speaking of Fart Fest, Carnegie Deli's pastrami maven dies at 90 in New York City. That's old enough. 90. That would give me another 24 years. Can you imagine the trouble I could cause in another 24 years?
Right.
And it's got a photo here of the original Carnegie Deli in New York. Carnegie Deli was in Fort Lauderdale in the Galleria, I believe. Weren't they in the Galleria?
I don't know. You know, there was a show you might have liked. It was on the History Channel, and it was
really?
All about sandwiches going all the way back to the very first Jewish deli in New York. And all like the origins of, you know, why the pastrami and the corned beef sandwiches got so popular and everything like that. And they just went from coast to coast going into the origins of all the sandwiches, like the French dip and things like that.
The French drip?
Yeah, it is a drip. It's pretty.
I wonder if what's his name has got that.
What's his name?
What's his name? Who was married to Reese Witherspoon?
Help me out.
Oh, come on.
Ryan Phillippe.
I wonder if he's got French drip. I bet you Michael Perret's got French drip. God, how did we get started talking about Eddie and the Cruisers? Where did that come from?
I don't know.
How unfortunate that was. Who is the one who sang the music in that song? In that
John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band.
Oh, my God. Beaver Brown, huh? I'm not touching that. Carnegie Deli's pastrami maven dies at 90 in New York City. Milton Parker, the longtime owner of the famous Carnegie Deli, renowned for its gargantuan pastrami, tongue, and chopped liver sandwiches. You people who eat tongue, man. Oh, gross.
Yeah, I never have.
With corny names like Nova on Sunday and 50 Ways to Love Your Liver, he's dead. Maybe he didn't love his liver enough. Although he lived till 90, it's not too bad. Parker, whose business card said Milton Parker CPM, the CPM stood for Corned Beef and Pastrami Maven, died today of respiratory problems, said his daughter Marion Levine. Or is it Levine? See, there we go with Goldstein and Goldstein. Levine and Levine. Marion Levine. Levine. His family says nothing will change at the legendary Theater District Deli where Woody Allen filmed scenes in Broadway Danny Rose. Oh, Woody Allen ate there, huh? Feh. Parker's son-in-law, Sanford Levine, told the Daily News it's the food, the communal tables, and the menu. That's not going to change. Over the years, the restaurant has developed a devoted following for its oversized sandwiches. I'll tell you what I remember about the Carnegie Deli, the one in Fort Lauderdale, man, they had kishki that you would die for.
Really?
Ooh. Oh, God, it was so good.
You're making me hungry, and I've been so good lately.
Have you really?
Yeah, I have.
Well, I'm not. There's no delis anywhere near me here. There's a place that used to be a deli, and then all the goyim took it over, and they got rid of the kishki, and they got rid of. They got cheese blintzes.
I want there to be a deli, like, in the lobby of this building.
Actually, the blintzes at that place at Myron's at Pompano Park, they're pretty good, but the only problem being that they're small, you know, too small. If you're going to give me blintzes, give me three or four big-sized blintzes. These are like little, like crepes, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, of course, if you eat too many crepes, you start to grips. Over the years, the restaurant has developed a devoted following for its oversized sandwiches stuffed with 6 to 8 inches of meat. Oh, I got a line for that. Some costing upward of $20 and named after celebrities like Henny Youngman. You remember Henny Youngman with that fiddle?
Uh-huh.
Was it a fiddle or a violin?
the distinction.
Jack Benny had a violin. I think Henny Youngman had a fiddle.
There's no difference. It's colloquial.
No, it's not
how you
correct.
Hold it.
Fiddle is smaller.
That's how you hold it.
Then how about the violin?
It's colloquial.
The Woody Allen sandwich, priced at a mere $17.95, is described as lots of corned beef plus lots of pastrami for the dedicated fresser. Yiddish for big eater, for the dedicated fresser only. Parker's daughter told the New York Post that at his memorial Monday, she placed one of his beloved footlong Frankfurters on the coffin and said, "This hot dog is for you." He didn't die today. He died last Friday. Get it right, you idiots. This hot dog is for you. Parker and his two partners bought the deli from its previous owners in 1976. One partner sold his share, and his second, Leo Steiner, died in 87. Parker retired in 2002 and turned the business over to his son-in-law. Mourners shared their memories of Parker on the website SaveTheDeli.com, a space dedicated to the preservation of Jewish delicatessens, a hallowed temple of salted and cured meats. That was up on 38. In the history of delicatessens, Milton Partners' Carnegie Deli caused more heartburn to the Jewish world than anything ever heard of, said Borscht Belt comedian Freddie Romaine. Roman? I don't know what it is.
Whatever.
Chopped off. His pastrami sandwich is incredibly much too large for human consumption. Customer Stu Schiffman added, "I hope that he was buried on white porcelain with a pile of rye and a jar of mouse turd on the side." Oh. He's eating in heaven now. When you eat at the Carnegie Deli, you're in heaven. And, of course, that went over like a pregnant pole vaulter on a hot July day in South Florida. They didn't last too long. It was too good. Anytime something really good and revolutionary comes, it goes out of business. I don't get it.
I don't know. But you're right.
I wonder if, what's their name? Big Daddy. He must be dead. Big Daddy Knapp.
Who?
From Big Daddy's with a photo. Don't you remember they tried to reopen the famous?
Oh, yeah.
And they invited me there. They advertised on the show once upon a time. It was a pink palace there by Dania Highly. The famous. I think they should have called it Minotaurus as opposed to the famous. Well, I'll have a chocolate egg cream. Let me tell you about my diabetes, and I'm having my left foot amputated next week. That was Big Daddy's wife telling a true story.
Really?
And in the meantime, they kept smearing more Hershey syrup into the chocolate egg cream. Oh, God. But, you know, it's far be it for me to talk about it. I'm addicted to real crap, bad stuff. I mean, at least it tastes good, though. You know, I'm not addicted to, like, tongue and stuff like that. I'm addicted to ice cream and candy and chocolate and, oh,
yeah,
God, I am.
I'll give tongue a chance.
There's some tongues I might put in my mouth.
Might make some exceptions.
Yeah. There's some tongue. Speaking of, what's his name again? Ryan Philip P. You ever see Ryan Philip P?
Just this morning.
That's George's answer to everything. Mm-hmm. Just this morning. You want to say it again?
Go ahead.
But save it for later.
560. It's Friday, you bastard.
Everybody knows one of the hippest things to do these days is to open a restaurant / mini indoor theme park in the heart of Manhattan. And that's why the high-powered folks at the National Rifle Association are pleased to announce Cafe NRA. At Cafe NRA, every food item is unique. That's because our chefs always cook your food over an open fire. And speaking of food, at Cafe NRA, you'll find only the finest, freshest meats.
Welcome to Cafe NRA. Would you like to try our kill of the day?
You mean catch of the day?
No, ma'am. Kill.
Oh.
But Cafe NRA is about more than just food. It's about guns and fun. For instance, while you're dining, be sure to play a quick game of find the crosshairs in your soup. Find them and get a free clip of ammo for the automatic of your choice. And before or after dinner, you'll find it's fun to get loaded in our bar, where every drink is served in shot glasses. And for those of you who want to enjoy the fun of shooting something yourself, Cafe NRA offers some of the most realistic shooting games you've ever seen. Play such shooting favorites as, I didn't know the gun was loaded, I thought Grandpa was a burglar, and, but officer, the guy cut me off in traffic. Cafe NRA, we're blowing the competition away.
1047 at 560 WQAM. Here's one of my all-time favorite emails, which everybody else is going to hate.
Okay.
And you want to know why?
Why?
It's about harness racing.
Oh,
but
I don't care.
It's short. It says, you brought back memories from the 60s yesterday. You used to play the Trotters in the Detroit area, Wolverine, Hazel Park, Northville. I sure remember the Merrimans, Joe Marsh Jr., George Shuley, McLemore's, etc. Can't recall too many ponies. Cold Sunday, driven by Corky Hamill, by the way. Red Red Robin, Denny Direct, Duke of Amboy, driven by Henry Reynolds. McNabb, Dr. McNabb, I don't know that one. Staying at the Embassy Suites in Deerfield. Getting older, but we sure do our part to lower the average age of the guests. My wife is from Sturgis, Michigan. I was the program director at WSTR in Sturgis, Michigan, 1966 and 67. How do you like that?
All right.
And worked for a real jerk named Lee Drozier. He was the GM. Lee Drozier. He's probably dead. Dick in Big Rapids, Michigan. Well, thanks a lot, Dick. How do you like that?
Mm-hmm.
Not just about harness racing, but about Michigan harness racing. Wow. Hallelujah. Joe Marsh Jr. Boy, he was my hero.
Was he?
He's still alive.
Good.
And then he went to Chicago, and he left there owing a lot of everybody money, and then he went to New York. He went to the big time, to New York. Joe Marsh Jr. Careless Velado. That's the horse that he drove in the Hamiltonian. I have trivia in my mind of harness racing from 100 years ago that is so meaningless and so useless, but yet my brain is just filled with that crap.
Right.
I can remember races from a zillion years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. With the great Francis O'Hare in the bike. Ida Lopez. Remember Ida?
No.
Yes, you do. A-I-D-A, Ida.
Oh, that Ida. No?
Yeah. You're weak on the emails, man. Unless it's some hot chick with a great ass, although she does talk about ass.
Okay, good.
She says, my boyfriend wanted to know if Southern-style soul food goes under the category of American food. Because we think it should have its own category. For example, fried chicken, barbecue ribs, black-eyed peas, mac and cheese, collard greens. What?
I'm going to add soul food. How's that?
Soul food. And don't forget the ham hocks. Oh! I can't eat as much as I want. You know what it would do to us Latin females' hips. Right, George? Take care. Says
no, I don't. Draw me a picture.
But he wants to find out.
That's right.
He wants to fondle you, Ida.
I don't think I've ever had a ham hock.
No, I don't want it.
You don't want
it? Ham to me. Ham is very tasteless.
I love ham.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. I could eat ham all day long.
It's tasteless and it's chewy. It's tough.
No, you had some bad ham.
No?
Man. Yeah, no.
Ham isn't
ham
like
is
soft
tender.
And melting your mouth
oh,
like a great
God.
Steak.
Thin sliced ham or like honey glazed ham. Or...
Honey glazed, well,
oh,
get the,
so
get
many
the
good
ham, honey.
Ways to have
get
ham.
Get the ham hock,
oh.
Honey.
Mm.
Feh.
No.
For goyim.
Thank you. I'll take it. I'll take your portion.
Bend Over says, I think it's absolutely hysterical that Moe's Wikipedia entry refers to you extensively. It must frost his ass. And then he says,
doi, 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 doi.
Your pal Ben. Bend Over. Poor Mo. Poor. Well, you know something? He brought it all on himself. If he would have had even a sliver of a sense of humor, we could have had a pretty good time. He might still be here. But he had no sense of humor, especially about himself.
Right.
If you can't laugh at yourself, then don't laugh at anybody else,
why
okay?
Would you go into show business and expect to be taken seriously?
Show business? Is that
yeah,
what we're in?
That's all we're in.
Here's a Coondog Johnny, which yesterday wasn't enough. I played that Here Come the FAGs for you already, Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
You racist bastard. He says, I remember the day I discovered your show like it was yesterday. I was about 12 years old in 1997, taking a midday dump, listening to my handheld radio. When for the first time in my life I decided to flick the switch to go from FM to AM. Like most of your listeners, I discovered your show by accident on WQM. Well, that's the only way we do it, baby. If you listen to this show, it's an accident. Later that evening, when forced by my parents to explain why I was in the bathroom for 3 hours, they weren't pleased with some of the revelations I heard on your show. Blue Hairs in Hallandale, Green Tooth Cubans, and Mayor Pincus Picania, I can't say it, amongst other things. The straw that broke the camel's back for them was when they overheard that bit of Donald Duck having an orgasm. I can't read it. It's chopped off. They decided I could no longer listen to you. I just don't get that. I mean, what are these people? Some kind of a wuss?
I guess.
I went underground, taped your show on cassette for a few years till I was about 15, then I could listen to you undeterred. For years, I'd dream of the day I could move out and listen to you in stereo. Get a life.
I have no life.
God, Johnny. Now I'm a 23-year-old highly qualified college graduate who's a full-time job seeker. I can't afford to leave home. I wish Bakaram Obongo would deal with fixing unemployment before fixing the housing market, considering most people buy a house after they get a job, not before. Hopefully I'll get a job this year and buy a big-ass house in Port St. Lucie and listen to you as loud as I like. Keep up the great work. You're the only thing worth smiling about in this depressing time. That's right. We give you a little chuckle. Not a big one like we used to, but like a little, you know, like a chortle, you know. We're not allowed to give you a big-ass chuckle. Cold Sunday with Corky Hamill. You know that I called the races on the radio on WALM in Albion, Michigan, from the Albion County Fair. And Cold Sunday won one of the races on that day. How do you like that? That was the name of one of the horses. Are you amazed?
Okay. No.
That I called harness races on the radio? And also at the Marshall Fair.
You did everything on the radio, man.
I peed on the radio.
Did you?
And I joiced on the radio.
Wow.
Oh, by the way, the horse, I'm trying to think, is it the one that I picked today? No. The Three Wooden Indian has won a race. Well, this is for four-year-olds, which had never won two races. The Three won a race by three lengths, and the jockey's name was Jay Joyce. Oh, boy. A real cheap maiden race. I'm picking the four Langley in the second race at Gulfstream today for our, what's his name? Kevin.
Right.
Gets a $50 win ticket on the four horse. And if the horse wins, he gets whatever the payoff is for 50 bucks. And if not, he gets our best wishes, like last week. I feel bad about last week. But you can't win every week. You know, the first week I got the wiener by a nostril, by a hade. He won by a hade. Joe Marsh Jr., baby. Now we're talking. And Donnie Hall. Old Donnie Hall. In the later years, he couldn't see a damn thing. He couldn't see the finish line. He couldn't see the starting gate. He couldn't see the ass end of the horse. You know, there's one thing about horses, and I've told you this before. They're not like we are when it comes to defecation, you know. They come out on the track, and they lift their tail, and just when you least expect it, plop, you know, just when you least expect it.
Oh, and of course, when do you ever expect it?
When you're sitting in the bike behind the horse, wow, look out now, as Blind Mike would say. My, my, look out now. Although I guess usually the horse, like, lifts its tail first because it doesn't want to, like, soil its tail. That's one of many reasons not to have a cat. Now, dogs, at least my dogs, have never, like, you know, smeared all over themselves when they squat. But cats, because they're so furry, I guess. I guess there probably are some kind of dogs that smear their...
rectum.
Ass.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot more delicate for them. They got all that fur there. What's it for, Lord? Oh, and here's one. This is the second one we've had about this. And I'm not... we don't take directions from the audience about the show, about the website. Screw you. Eric says, hi, Uncle Neil. Could you please remove the picture of John Revolta kissing his boyfriend from your website? No, why should we? I'm not homophobic or pro-Travolta. I just find it disturbing. I'm not homophobic. Right. It gives me the gosh darn willies every time I see it. Thanks. Love you. Eric G. in Naples. Oh. By the way, I can get you on the regular radio up to South Sarasota County when I'm driving there on my Wednesday route. PS2, George is fine. I enjoy his solo shows. He ain't no Neil Rogers, but he's head and shoulders above the local schlock, and he'll do well with his own show after you hit it big at Woodbine and retire. Retire! Yoy, it says. Not oy, but
oy.
What do you expect from Goyam in Naples? Could you please remove the picture? I mean, don't look at it, that's all. It's like the dog barking at the moon again. Quit looking at it. And then it won't bother you so much. It's not going anywhere, the cockamoon. And neither is the picture of John Revolta kissing his boyfriend on the website. Aren't you amazed that that's my second request to remove the picture, that it's so disturbing to these people? They're not homophobic, you understand. They
I understand. They're
fact,
very,
they
very lifeless.
They even tolerate them fag boys, but nevertheless, we don't want to see it no more.
Oh, Neil! This is the Neil Rogers Show.
Do it.
This is your brain.
You fairy.
Any questions?
Warning, two raspberries in this bit. Two little raspberries.
I can't stand Tucker's too wide. Can't take it, Oy vey. Yeah. The song goes on too long as O.J.
Oy.
Please don't play Tucker's too wide.
Oh, man.
Gives me the spilkies inside. Please don't play Tucker's too wide. Don't play it no more.
Don't play it no more.
Oy.
Can't take it no more.
I killed Nicole.
All right. That was worth a couple of raspberries, wasn't it?
Sure.
I think they were boysenberries.
A bargain.
You know what's really good for is I've talked about this before, blackberries. I'm not talking about the ones that you know, communicate with.
Oh, yes. I'm
talking about the ones that you eat.
I love them.
Haven't had no blackberries in a long time. Got one over here, though, on the counter. My communicating one.
Mm-hmm.
Says it's 11:01 a.m., Friday, February 6th. And it says Rogers on it. How do you like that? Wow. Not me, though. That's Rogers. Rogers Cable, Rogers Communication, Rogers Internet. Ted Rogers just died, and boy, I won't say anything about it. Maybe he left me something in his will, do you think?
No.
Maybe.
Maybe I'm kindred like Ted Rogers. 617 votes on our poll. We're not doing too shabby. What ethnic style of food is the best? Italian, 246. Mangia, mangia. Everybody loves Italian. When you go to Italy, eat, eat. And when you go to Italy, go to southern Italy. Don't go to, like, Milano and eat that risotto. I mean, if you like risotto, great. It's mush. It's rice and mush. You like risotto?
I don't know if I've ever had it. And
crap.
If I did, it was a long time ago.
See, in northern Italy, they cook with butter. In central and southern Italy, they cook with olive oil. Olio oliva. Olio oliva. Che pane. Seriously, every time I think about him in that Godfather 3, I get angrier and angrier.
Yeah, good.
I mean, Sophia, she can't help it. She got the big schnoz and couldn't act her way out of a paper sack. And George Hamilton, he's got the personality of a wooden Indian like Bo Camper. Mm. But Eli Wallach was supposed to be an actor.
Whoever said. I mean, he was in
what?
A lot of movies, but I don't remember him ever acting in any of them.
Oh, really?
Really.
What was that Western movie he was in that was
the
so...
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
The Good, the Bad, and Eli Wallach.
You played the parody that just this morning.
I did?
Didn't you?
Da-na-na,
yeah. The first thing right out of the box.
No, I did not.
Didn't you?
I played Talk Us Too Wide out of the box.
When did
Talk
you play that?
Wide
that was yesterday, then.
What are you talking about?
You played it this week. It had to
I
be
played
like
what?
Yesterday.
What's it called?
The Mo, the Gel, the Doi, the something.
Oh, Mo, Doi, Geldy. I played that this morning. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Mo, Doi, Geldy.
Gaslighting.
There it is.
Over here.
Well, how do you like that? Speaking of Eli Wallach. Maybe Eli Wallach is Mo in another lifetime. Matt Geldy, man, has he got a voice or what? And thank God we found out. Oh, and speaking of him, where is it? You know John ZTR?
Yeah.
Well, put this on ahead of everything else. He resends me the two best fake emails. I think it was wonderful that he came out of the closet the other day, although I will say this. It's a little bit disturbing that it took this one genius to come up with all these other... In other words, like you said, there's like five or six people sent all the emails.
Right.
What ethnic style of food is the best? Italian 246, Cuban 59, American 59, Mexican 50, Thai 43, Chinese 42, Indian 24, French 20, Japanese 19, Greek 17, Caribbean 12, Jewish 10. Oh, boy, we got too many goyim out there. Delhi ought to be doing much better than that. I don't want to sound like prejudiced or like that, but, boy, I'll tell you, good deli? Who doesn't like good deli? Even the Schwarzes like good deli.
Right. I don't know. I like it.
Puerto Rican, 9. British, 4. Soul food, 1. Polynesian, Russian, and African, none. I guess nobody likes borscht.
I don't know.
I sure don't. Oh, you ever have borscht?
Isn't that beets?
Like beets.
Ooh,
oh,
don't like
bitter.
Beets.
Bitter. Bitter. In fact, what is bitters? Is that like spices? Bitters?
Yeah, I guess.
Don't the Brits eat that crap?
I reckon.
Bitters. Polynesian doesn't have any, which I guess the reason being that there just aren't... You know, back in the day, in the 60s and 70s,
mm-hmm.
every major market had like its own Chintiki... What was the chain? Polynesian chain?
I don't know.
Trader Vic's. There was a Trader Vic's in Fort Lauderdale or somewhere. And like the Maikai, and every major market had a Polynesian restaurant, a famous one. And now it's like out of fashion for whatever reason. Great, great food, man. I mean, great. And those Polynesian drinks, woo! Two or three of those, and you're like on Queer Street. I think that's what happened to me. I was force-fed Polynesian drinks as a child, and I wound up on Queer Street with Rick Weaver. Poor Rick Weaver, man. Let's bring him back. Bring back his body, for crying out loud. I wonder where he is now.
He is on Queer Street right now.
Oh, it's getting busy on that street. It's getting real busy. I'm real busy, you know? How many votes we got on that poll? 631. Our goal is whatever we get, and we'll be real happy with it. We got Orlando, Al Sequeira at 2 o'clock. Mad Dog, 4 to 7. Dolphin Tonight, 7 to 8 o'clock, a show that people are revolting about. And then 8 to 11, it's DA, speaking of revolting. And then 11 to 1, it's Greg Likens. It's the only show we have at 11 o'clock at night on Friday. Monday through Thursday, Gornished. Weekends, forget about it. Although I see you tomorrow, we got, look at this.
That? Ew.
This.
Put it away.
6 p.m. tomorrow until 4:30 in the morning Sunday, we have ESPN Radio. 6 at night till 4:30 in the morning, we put that swill on there. Oh, my God. We're making a lot of cutbacks. Info track, 4:30 to 5 in the morning, whatever. And then Gold Coast Forum, 5 to 6 in the morning. What is that? See, this is why we need Fat Chris. He could probably tell us. And Sunday from noon to 2, after 3 hours of the Beast, we've got Adam Cooperstein. And DA Sunday afternoon when people are awake, 2 to 5. Oh, boy. I bet you that's when he gets to shine, now that we got no more Dolphin games for many, 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 many months. That's when DA gets to shine, on a Sunday afternoon between 2 and 5. Anyway, John ZTR says the best two best fake emails, sent by him, of course. First, from the fake Mark Hine. And you'll remember these, just as I do. This letter is in regard to the Neil Rogers Show on your station. I don't know if this email will go directly to Neil or WQM management. First, I've been a listener for many years, enjoy his show. The problem is, however, that recently the show has been lackluster. He even goes on to blame the callers and emailers as if we somehow are responsible for the quality of the show. I'm not even on WQM's payroll, so why is it my job to create material for the show simply because the host doesn't give a damn? Next is the fact that he brags constantly about mailing it in and not caring. How is this possible? As a former business owner, if one of my employees went around bragging about being lazy, they wouldn't last long. Not to mention this is bad for the morale of the company, will cause others to follow in his footsteps. Yesterday's show, for example, started out fine with Neil taking calls and emails and doing his news stories, but it wouldn't last because early into the second hour, he was annoyed by a caller and soon went into playing bits and didn't look back. He proceeded to do this until the end of the show. Thank you for taking your time to read this. I love the stuff the station has done over the years and all the great personalities you've introduced to South Florida radio. Have a happy holidays, a concerned fan. And then Edward O'Brien, who might be the all-time best, you think?
Yeah.
He says, I'm writing to you because I've been giving your show a try for the past 2 weeks. A coworker told me about you. I listened for a few minutes and I knew immediately it was not my type of show, but my coworker insisted I give you a chance and I did. If I'm going to judge something, I like to at least be fair, but I don't know. I don't know what it is with your show. You're not a bad person, and neither is your co-host, but it's not like other shows, at least not from what I've heard so far. When I listen to other shows, I feel like I'm there in the studio, reminiscing with old friends. But with your show, I just don't get that feeling. I can't pinpoint what it is. Maybe it's because you don't do your show from Miami, or the fact that you and your co-host aren't in the same room. That plays a big part of it. There's a magic that's there when the host and co-host are looking at each other and can play off of each other, but with your show, it's just not there. You get the feeling that you and your co-host are in two different worlds. Look at how Howard and Robin interchange, for example. When I listen to their show, I feel like I'm there, and that's what radio's all about, isn't it? Another factor, and please don't take this as bigotry, is that you're an openly gay man. That's fine, but when you're talking about how hot Brady Quinn is, I don't think you realize it, but a good portion of the male audience is being turned off. I could take it once or twice, but when you just start describing how hot another man is, it makes me reach for the dial and listen to something else. Again, please don't take this as bigotry. Gays are fine by me. I tolerate them, but I don't see the point of flaunting it as much as you do, especially on the radio. It's fine that you're gay, but why does everything have to revolve around that? My coworker tuned into your show last week, forcing me to listen, and it was all about Tim Tebow this and Tim Tebow that. How am I, a non-gay male, supposed to relate to this kind of talk? Tim Tebow sucks. Maybe my opinion is unfair since this is the tail end of your career. My coworker keeps telling me how great you used to be. Or maybe you had to have grown up in Miami to be able to listen to your show. I don't know. I just don't know. Oh, and enough with the bits. Who plays this many bits anyway? Thank you for your time. Sorry I didn't become a fan of your show. My coworker was driving me nuts to listen to you and build you as the Howard Stern of Miami, but your show is not for me. Good day, and I hope your show gets better. That's my favorite line of the whole thing. I hope your show gets better. Like, I hope your little dog gets better. What?
We hope it gets better, too.
No, so do we. We hope like hell that Jolly Joe Bell gets run over by a freight train. You got that by Peter Paul Mary? Freight train, freight train. Oh, here's one from Al Dente. Neil, I don't want to tell you how to run your show, but one, your website needs to be completely updated. It sucks. Two, George needs to go. Three, you should talk about hockey less and nude women more. 4, be more conservative. 5, speak in a lower tone voice. You sound a little sissyish at times. Regards, Al. Sissyish. Speak in a lower tone of voice. How's that?
Better. Much better.
Oh, here's a link about bitters. It says, check it out, dude. No, I'll pass. It's a link. Are you cereal? He's playing Freight Train by Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yes, I am.
Any other Warner Brothers Records.
Any other Peter, Paul, and Mary?
The white label.
Freight Train, going so fast. Freight Train,
those are the days, baby.
So
60s.
Folk
music.
What train I'm on, so they
Brothers Four. Peter, Paul, and Harry. The unctuous I can't sing a note, Bob Dylan. There's another state of mind thing, Bob Dylan. Can we agree on that?
Yes. Wrote some good songs, but just like you said.
Is this blowing in the wind?
Not yet, it isn't.
Oh, but it will be when they start singing.
No, it's going to be.
It's not. Puff the Magic Dragoon. I knew it.
Makes me cry.
Oh. Yeah, it made you cry. It made, what's his name, cry too? That,
who?
That freaky swimmer, Michael Phelps guy. Oh, I've made a bad judgment and I'm so sorry. And he lost the Kellogg's account. Well.
Oh, well.
That'll teach you.
F them.
They're not going to welcome him in we're not going to welcome that geek in Battle Creek, I'll tell you
what,
that.
Just to make up for that, whatever he does wind up endorsing, I'll buy twice as much of it.
And by the way, Kellogg, the guy who started the company, he invented cornflakes to stop people from
That's
masturbating.
Right. He was crazy. He's a crazy
It's a true
person.
Story.
I know.
And it didn't work.
No, it did not.
I don't think.
It does.
11:13 at 560 WQM.
It's Friday, you bastard.
Rectum.
If you listen to WIOD, the shows in the daytime are better. You never know it by the way that they are promoting the sports, the news, and the weather. It's always Hank Goldberg and Sonny Hirsch and Jose Gagagagagagi. They ought to know by now. No one gives a crap about any of that. It's a talent that brings you the money. Tuning out.
WQAM. Happy Friday. Oh, hallelujah. The sun is shining. It's going to be a real beautiful weekend somewhere.
All right.
Here's one that says, Michael Phelps sucks anyways. Someone with such a bad lisp shouldn't be propped up as a spokesman for anything. Yeah, the spokesmen always have a bad lisp. You know what I'm saying?
What
Especially
saying?
The Ottawa Senators spokesman. But nevertheless, Gus says, now this goes to show you, the pot calling the kettle dumb. The only thing you can do to make the show better is stop reading the idiot's criticism. Hey, Gus, they're fake. They're put on. They're a joke. Okay, you got it, Gus? And I enjoy them. They're most amusing. Now, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
No, don't say yeah. You're supposed
I'm sorry.
To say...
Go ahead!
Woo! Did we enjoy them better when we thought they were for real, possibly? Or now that we know that they're all put on?
When was that?
Well, you I never thought anything was for real.
No, I didn't think the first one was for real.
But you're such a skeptic.
Right?
You're such a hard-ass skeptic.
Yes.
My God.
What's your point?
Well, there's Chris Berman with that fake big pupik hanging out. Oh, Lawrence is back. I don't want to tell you how to do your show, but, oh, no, not Lawrence. Oh, my God, I thought Lawrence was a sane person. Oh. Can you believe this?
I believe it.
I haven't read it yet, but when it starts out, I don't want to tell you how to do your show, bud. Then don't. Then don't. 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 652 votes on the poll. I'm just killing time with that while I'm printing out this horribly. I mean, I thought we actually had like a rational, sensible human being there, Lawrence, like a pseudo-intellectual.
Why?
Oh, my God. Let's see what he has to say here. I don't want to tell you how to do your show, but you and George must only speak in tongues and not the same ones every day. You can only read bedtime stories I approve first. Oh, I see. This is supposed to be funny.
Uh-huh.
You can only speak about subject matters that make me, you know, oh, this is weak. You can only do this, but a beep, but a boop, but a bop. You must move back. What a bunch of jerks, and they email you anonymously to boot, whatever to boot means. Oh, Lawrence, quit trying to be a comedian. You're not funny. This is supposed to be funny, only it's not. You can only speak about subject matters that either make me and only me laugh. Yeah, we know. Why would anybody waste that much effort, you know?
I have no life.
I mean, yeah, paragraph after paragraph
nailed
goes
it.
On, huh?
You nailed it.
God.
I have no life.
Jesus. Hey, Lawrence, I thought you were like a real mensch. You're just another guy with no life trying to impress me with your tremendous humor. Mm. The FCC didn't find any humor in this. They fined the CBS radio affiliate in Pittsburgh, KDKA, $6,000 for a talk show prank promising $1 million to a caller. How do you like that? KDKA,
nice.
Once one of the great radio stations, 1020 on the AM dial. Once home of the Pittsburgh Pirates, the flagship station. With the great Bob Prince. And before him, Rosie Rosewell. Open the window, Aunt Minnie. Here it comes. The FCC says KDKA host Marty Griffin told listeners the money was in a briefcase handcuffed to someone in the studio. The money was promised to the 13th caller on Thanksgiving 2007. That listener called in, stayed on hold for 45 minutes thinking he had won $1 million. CBS argued the offer was preposterous and clearly a joke, but FCC investigation chief Hillary DeNigro said Thursday that Griffin misled listeners by calling the contest the real deal. The real deal. Like the real Neil. KDKA has 30 days to pay the fine or appeal, $6,000. They could find that on the sidewalk. Michael Young, the station's senior vice president and general manager, had no comment. What are you going to say? We're a bunch of idiots?
Yeah.
Once great station, that would be like WBZ pulling a prank like that, or WABC, or WCBS, or WNBC, or whatever, or WMAQ, or WCFL, or WCAU, or WHAM in Rochester, a really horseball station. Even though I used to get those free hockey tickets from Bob Turner. Boy, what a memory. Jesus.
Wow.
Scary, you know what?
Sure.
Bob Turner, he was the sports guy in WHAM in Rochester. And I was sending my little postcard, and he would read my name on the air as one of the winners, and I'd wait for them in the mail. Oh, it was exciting to go see the Amherst. To go see the Amherst, and boy, I really liked Howie Young. He always was red in the face. Always had a red puss.
Yeah?
Howie Young. Hey, Howie.
How young?
Well, that's because I was,
yay,
you know, a young fag. Brett says, I'm not asking you to do anything with the... Oh, I see. I'm not asking you to do anything with the Travolta kissing picture, but as a very gay male, I find it disturbing. He's ugly, says Brett. P.S. Love the show, Neil. Yeah, you're trying to backtrack now, Brett, that you showed your ass to the entire world.
Rectum.
That's it. Although I agree with that. He is butt ugly. I mean, he is gross, John Travolta. He's got a face for off the
what?
Air. He's got a face for the Uranus. Pluto.
Yikes.
Speaking of that, Dick Cheney says, I've been listening to you for years and years, have quite a large file on you. You're pretty funny sometimes. If I was still in office, I'd send George to Gitmo and turd board him until he admitted he was a pinko commie. Oh, yeah, thanks for the cash, suckers. Can you play the bit about my balls? Signed, Dick Cheney. Yeah, he opened up a big mouth, and Olbermann last night said he ought to leave the country. Leave the country and get out of the way of progress, okay? Although I don't see any progress yet, but it's a big, you know... We got that bailout,
mm-hmm.
big-ass bailout. And then Monday, allegedly, they're coming up with an even bigger bailout. Oh, God, they got billions more than everybody wants to get their hands on. When are we going to get our share, huh?
Yeah, we're getting
all
it,
we
all right.
Hear about is pay cuts and pay cuts and pay cuts and cutbacks and firings and layoffs and crap like that. When are we going to get a little piece, huh? A little something-something, that's all we want. Right?
Yep.
Even George would settle for a little something-something.
Just enough to wet my beak.
Now, when are you going to be back at Gulfstream? 2 weeks from today?
The 27th, yeah.
Oh, that's 27th?
The 27th.
That's 3 weeks from today.
Okay, then.
I haven't got one email about my pick at Gulfstream today. The four horse in the second race, Langley. Oh, but Adam Oshmack, could you please make my week and play the call with a free ticket lady? No, I cannot. It's boring.
Wow.
Quit trying to program the show, Adam. Go outside and play in the snow and get pneumonia.
O'Neill!
It's Friday, you bastards.
What's the problem, officer?
Deploy from the vehicle.
If you're caught driving without a seatbelt, you will be removed from your car and shot. The police now have the authority to enforce seatbelt safety under the new Patriot Act 2. The new law is in effect now, so click it or be shot. Officers don't like doing this. They are only following orders. It's for your own protection in the never-ending fight against terrorism. Terrorist acts such as mouth noise, burping, and farting could be annoying to others. So under Patriot Act 2, eating will no longer be permitted in restaurants. Anyone eating outside the designated eating area will also be shot. It's the law.
The law.
We like saying that.
The law.
The law.
The law.
The law.
The law.
It's the law.
Up until that bit, I never knew that was a farting noise. Did you?
No, I did not.
Fart sound. Uh-oh. It's called farting through the mouth. As opposed to farting through the...
rectum.
Ass. Yeah. Yeah, Geldy, when he speaks, he's farting. And thank God that it turns out that John ZTR was Leo. Because otherwise we would have had to get Geldy a bodyguard 24-7. You know, those stalkers, you know what you always say? And you know who I bet one of the chronics is Al Rogers.
I couldn't agree more.
Oh, guaranteed. That's just like a little light bulb went off over my thing. Al Rogers, the stalker. Once a stalker, always a stalker. Just ask the goddess.
This is the rule that I've come to understand.
And what is that?
Doing this all these years. The people that you want to hear from the least are the people that you hear from the most.
Oh,
whether
yeah.
It's on phone or
I'm
email.
I'm your friend.
Or in person.
I'm your friend.
Or to, yes.
Great show.
Yes.
Great program, Neil. Lisette says, and by the way, the emails are coming in really good. This is the way this is supposed to work, okay? A steady flow. We don't need like 100 all at once because then it's a little bit more than I can handle at my advanced age. But a steady flow throughout the day is great. As opposed to like when we get to like 12:30, 1 o'clock. Oh, well, they're out of material. Do a dance and entertain them. Entertain us, Neil. Come on. You're getting paid big bucks. Entertain us. Do a dance. Do a dance. Work up a schwitz. Lisette says, hi, Neil. So I just had a vent about this whole Michael Phelps situation. I'm not condoning smoking pot. Well, why not? But my God, why is this such an issue? It shouldn't be. He's a young guy, had a great year last year for himself and our country by winning 8 medals. I was watching CNBC last night, and Larry Kudlow, a real Nazi, was going on and on about how bad this is and blah, blah, blah. I just don't understand it. Well, he's a Nazi, okay? He's a hypocrite. He's probably humping elephants. This country has too many tight-ass people who constantly are telling people what they should and shouldn't be doing. Hypocrites, I say. You got it, Lisette. They're all full of crap. They're all full of big, nasty, brown, smelly turd. It says this is the only country where pot and other street drugs are criminalized, but every other commercial is for this prescription drug and that one. That's right. Take the prescription drugs. You got it, especially Cialis and Viagra. And if you start seeing stars, then you really got to go see Alice. Boy, do you want to see Alice? I sure don't.
Sure. Who?
Alice Rantel.
Oh, that Alice, no.
Do they not realize it's the same crap, if not worse, because prescription drugs are chemicals that cause harm, while pot is from the earth? Sorry I had to vent. I feel like I'm around crazy people all the time. That's right, Lisette. If you're on this planet, you're surrounded by crazy people, smelly people, like at Woodbine. Guess where I'm going at 2 o'clock?
Woodbine. Guess.
I thought it was only South Florida, but it's all over this country. I hope you and George have a nice weekend. You too, Lisette. The voice of reason in the audience, Lisette.
Thank you.
She knows her crap. poor Michael Phelps. Why are they picking on him? Just because he's a goofy, retarded-looking guy. It looks like he came from outer space, not of this earth, not of this species. Oh, not another poll suggestion. I like this poll from Paul. The solution to the economic crisis is 1, cut taxes, 2, increase spending in the infrastructure, 3, more government involvement, 4, less government involvement, 5, do whatever Obama says, 6, give the money to Neil so he can double it at Woodbine. Now we're talking. Give me that cash, baby. I have a great time with it. I'll give you a double for your trouble. Boy, yesterday those machines were cold as ice. You know, they're just some days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, next time we have that guy on, when you were at Gulfstream, what was that guy's name with the pinstripe suit?
Oh, I don't know.
Because he probably, what?
I wrote it down somewhere.
Some Italian guy.
Yeah.
He probably really knows the ins and outs of these slots and how they work. Although he's, you know, Italian. He's probably got some contacts. Oh, don't say that. Well, why not? But I'd like to find out. I'd like to have somebody admit to us that they run computer programs where they're like, you know, where they're either like wide open, which is probably very rare, or they're like on slow cook. Meaning you couldn't squeeze if you had a shotgun and a jackhammer, you couldn't squeeze a dime out of those damn machines.
I don't have his name.
When it runs slow cook, you don't have what?
His name. I must.
Well,
wrote
we don't
on
need his name. Next time you're there, maybe he'll show up again. Although probably not. He'll probably know. He'll probably find out that Neo's asking about the secrets of the machines, man. Because when they got him on slow cook, man, when they got him basically turned off, you couldn't, if you took an H-bomb, you couldn't get anything out of those damn things. And you can tell it when a whole row around you, they're all like bitching him. Oh, gee, this machine sucks. Oh, this blows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I really could write a book about my, I mean, you want me to write a book about radio, which I think is quite boring because it's a dead issue.
Well, not about radio per se.
I would like to write a book about my experiences at the machines, Mon.
An autobiography about your life.
No, I don't want to write that. Who the hell wants to read that? There's nothing exciting about my life.
There isn't?
No.
Maybe not lately.
Well, there's Hank on CNN.
Been so successful that they plan to...
No, her face is too thin to be the humper. You always say that every time Barbara Starr comes on. Mm-hmm. Oh, Hank's on TV. Hank's on TV plenty on ESPN because they have respect for the humper. They don't treat him like some tub of garbage like Joe Bell treated him. Just because Hank hated Joe and had the balls to say it right to his face. I hate you, you fat tub of garbage. That's what he said or something like that. And Joe was just coming around the corner and heard the humper say that. That was the end of that. Because once Joe takes a sour added altitude toward you, you're screwed. And believe you me, they never dreamed I would sign that deal. And when Norma called me a couple of nights ago, I said, you know something? In retrospect, maybe I wasn't so stupid. Now that everybody's out on the beach, everybody's getting canned, there's no jobs, everybody's broke. Maybe I wasn't quite so dumb as some people thought I was, huh?
Yep.
I got a guaranteed deal for 5 years mailing this crap in every day, reading a bunch of what? I don't know what you're laughing about.
No, the emailer that accused you of mailing it in.
Mailing it in, baby. There's nothing like that. That's what MIFO says. And look at him. He's got a big number. He's got a 0.3 over there on that station that nobody can pick up and nobody ever heard of before off the 640 on the dial. It's not far from us. Give him a shot, okay, when you see MIFO. Give him a shot. Give him a shout out. Do they still make that crap shout? To wash your clothes when in doubt, shout it out?
I imagine.
That's a good pull, by the way, Paul. Give the money to Neil so he can double it at Woodbine. I like that. In fact, give it to me now so I can take it with me this afternoon. Just give me like a whole bunch of bags of money. Can't you see me going in there like with a wheelbarrow and a bodyguard?
Yeah. A wheelchair and a bodyguard?
Oh, I see some of the saddest things. There was a guy there yesterday propped up in a wheelchair. I do mean propped up. With like tubes on his nose and oxygen on the side of the chair. I mean, just this guy had to be like within seconds of death.
Well, it's a good thing he's making the most of it.
That's right. That's what I can relate to. That's where I'm going to be. Paco's going to be wheeling me around at Woodbine. Take me to machine number 12, number 12. Oh, that's the one I paid the jackpot. A week ago today, paid the jackpot, $227,000. To some really strange guy from India. Strange, very mysterious guy who wore some very mysterious schmatas, I see.
Oh, Neil!
After years of
failed attempted mergers with cable news channels, Disney-owned ABC has decided to launch their own 24-hour news channel. Here's what it may sound like.
Good evening. This is Ann Moss, reporting from Orlando. Our top story this evening, 9 people were injured when they fell off the... Boop! Better give me something else. In other news, 4,000 people experienced explosive diarrhea and vomiting while disembarking the... Boop! Better go over to sports. Here's Goofy.
Gosh, Wick, I've got nothing. Back to you.
Okay, then. Good job there, Rain Man. Let's check the national weather picture. Standing by in the ABC Weather Center. Here is Uncle Remus.
Back together, boss.
Do the weather. Do the weather.
How was your vacation, boss?
I don't want to do any weather dumb banter. Give me the forecast.
You know that?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We don't have time. We interrupt this weather report to take you live to Iraq and special correspondent Donald Duck. Donald, can you hear me? I can't understand you, Donald. I think we're having some problems with the satellite. Can you be more clear? I'm not getting it, Donald. No, still don't have you. What the duck is going on, Remus?
I can't understand a word he's saying. Anyway, you want more weather, boss?
Go ahead, hurry up.
There's a storm coming in Orlando. It looks like the weekend am shot.
The weekend am shot?
That's what I said, boss.
We'll have more news after this.
All right. 14 till noon at 560 WQM. What's news? What's that all about? News on the radio? That's something we never heard about on QAM.
Revolutionary.
Yeah. Remember when we first came to the station and they used to do news updates, and the news updates were really sports updates. Remember
right.
that?
Yeah. What'd you expect?
Well, there's racing from Dubai. Looks like Frankie Dettori finished second in that race. You know the great Frankie Dettori? Lanfranco Dettori? I'm starting to get into the mood for the racing thing now, you know?
I see. Good. By the way,
you can never
Steve
get in the mood too
there.
Early for the big racing Friday at Gulfstream.
I agree.
For our Pick a Pony contest, which Flea, I noticed, still hasn't done a thing about.
What's
next
that?
Time you're... Huh?
What's he supposed to do?
Like do a promo for it or a liner or something so people know where how to sign up and maybe be a contestant like Kevin today. Maybe get picked for a chance at a $50 win ticket on a horse that I picked that's still running. Here he is in the stretch right now.
Silver Mist in front, third set trying, but Silver Mist.
Silver Mist with a phony British accent. Dubai. Now, where the hell is Dubai?
Over there in the Middle East somewhere.
I mean, is it like the United Arab Emirates?
Want me to look it up?
Yeah, look on the map and see exactly. I never really cared all that much about where it is. I know there's a whole bunch of rich schmata heads who live there.
Right.
Who've been raping
yes.
the world for what?
You were right. United Arab Emirates? Yes.
Well, how do you like that? Didn't know that I had that kind of incredible knowledge. Not
Amazing.
Just about horse racing and harness racing.
You're ready for Jeopardy.
And that drunk guy that used to drive at Jackson Raceway. I can't think of his name. It'll come to me. Drunk. Anyway. Oh, here's some bad news about Michael Phelps. Does anybody really care
no.
about Michael Phelps? I don't, but it's newsy. Michael Phelps' return to competition for the first time since the Beijing Olympics is on hold. The swimming superstar has been suspended for 3 months and had his training stipend revoked by the USA Swimming. His stipend. You look at him and you really doubt that he's got a stipend, you know what?
No comment.
Do you want me to continue with this story?
Oh, I don't care. Sure, why not?
Go ahead!
Sorry.
Go ahead.
See, I have to play myself.
I keep forgetting. It's too new.
It's the latest complication for the 23-year-old Olympic great since a photo surfaced showing him inhaling from a marijuana pipe. A marijuana pipe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Hardened criminal man. He also lost a high-profile sponsor yesterday when Kellogg Company said it wouldn't renew its deal with Phelps that expires later this month. Well, screw them. I'm off my Frosted Flakes. I'll tell you that right now. Actually, I could get that family-sized box. What was the chain where they served those big...
Extra.
Extra, right. They're gone, right?
Yes.
Where you had to bag your own groceries? Like all over Europe, you have to bag your own. I mean, what kind of a supermarket is it that doesn't have a bunch of good bag boys?
Not a very good one.
Phelps recently resumed serious training in his hometown of Baltimore with the goal of qualifying for the summer's World Championships in Rome, but with his suspension, it's going to cut into his racing schedule. His racing schedule. Oh, God. This is not a situation where any anti-doping rule was violated, but we decided to send a strong message to Michael because he disappointed so many people, especially the hundreds of thousands of USA Swimming member kids who look up to him as a role model and a hero. Yeah, likely story. Likely story. They probably want to share. This is what the governing body said. Michael has voluntarily accepted this reprimand and committed to earn back our trust. Phelps won a record 8 gold medals in Beijing, returned to America as one of the world's most acclaimed athletes. He made a headline of a different kind, however, in the wake of the photo published last Sunday by News of the World, a British tabloid. The latest fallout has been much greater than in 2004 when an underage Phelps was arrested for drunken driving 3 months after the Athens Olympics. He pleaded guilty and apologized to his fans, saying he wouldn't make the same mistake again. Well, so he made a different mistake. He didn't make the same mistake again. Right?
Right.
USA Swimming provides a $1,750 monthly stipend to national team members to help defray travel and training expenses and buy some good crap. I mean, some good Schmidt. However, it's a fraction of the millions Phelps makes through endorsements. The stipend will be withheld throughout his 3-month suspension. Cereal and snack maker Kellogg said it wouldn't renew. I bet you he's not even going to be able to get those marshmallow squares. What do they call those?
The Rice Krispie Treats?
The Rice Krispie Treats. Mm. Is that what they call them?
That's what they call them.
Those marshmallow squares. Now, if they're made right, they're really great. And if not, they taste like yucky, you know?
Correct.
And especially if they're stale, like at my Chinese convenience store.
Really?
No speaky English. They have stuff in there that expired before Jesus was a baby. I'm serious. Like pasta sauce. You look on the label, expiration date, 2004. Yeah, 5-year-old sauce.
It's still good. You can buy.
Yeah. No speaky English. Anyway, Kellogg said it wouldn't renew its sponsorship contract with Phelps, saying his behavior is not consistent with the image of Kellogg. The swimmer appeared on the company's cereal boxes after his Olympic triumph. They don't understand that when you're smoking like that, you get the munchies for Kellogg's treats. You eat that frosted flakes right out of the box. That stuff is just evil.
Yes,
so good. Frosted flakes. Don't you like it?
I do.
How could you not love it?
You like it?
Maybe I do.
It. But I don't buy cereal, man. It's bad. It's
yes,
not
it
the
is
kind of carbs I'm going to like splurge on.
Good plan.
Once in a while, I'll buy like a little bag of Doritos, something like that.
Yeah.
Because they're good. I
right
like Doritos just fine.
Me too.
All carbs, all really loaded with chemicals and,
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what else. Cheesy popcorn, what the hell is it called?
I don't know. Not that
you ever get like a little bag of that?
Yeah.
That's good.
It's good stuff like with the white cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only problem with it, it's awesome. The only problem is that it gets all over your hands.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
You got to wash your hands about 6 times before you're done with a big bag of that.
Sticky, stinky fingers.
Yeah. Stinky finger.
Mm-hmm.
Phelps has acknowledged regrettable behavior and bad judgment in the latest incident. He didn't dispute the authenticity of the photo, reportedly taken at a house party while he was visiting Columbia, South Carolina in November during an extended break from training. I don't think it's any of their damn business. How do you like that? I don't think it's anybody's business. Even being the freaking ugly geek that he is, if he wants to smoke a big fat one or whatever he's smoking, that's his business. Why is that anybody else's business? Am I right? Abso-freaking-lutely, man.
Absolutely.
You bet. All you nosy paparazzi, all you bastards. News of the
all
world, my ass.
Phony, sanctimonious, and
that's right, phony, sanctimonious,
an example
huffing,
for the
puffing
kids.
Sorry.
Boy.
I just
really
hate that crap. Whoever signed up, I don't remember ever seeing that in like a want ads or something. Example for other people's children.
Yeah.
Have you?
714 votes on the poll. Which ethnic style of food is the best? Everybody's got at least one vote now. Thank God for that. Italian, 280. 281. American, 66. Like burger and fry, you're going to die. Cuban, 65. Mexican, 62. Thai, 52. Chinese, only 46. Indian, 26. French, 23. Japanese, 21. Greek, 18. Caribbean, 16. Jewish, 15. Only 15 for Jew food.
Oy.
Deli. Blintzes and Grimace and, oh, such good stuff. Humantash and the real ones, not ersatz. Not those little hockey pucks. Puerto Rican, 12. What is Puerto Rican food? Can you explain to me what Puerto Rican food is?
I wish I could, but I can't.
No, somebody will tell us. British 5, soul food 4, African 2, Polynesian 1, and Russian solamente uno. Adin. Adin, va, chetiri, piach. I left out the 3. The 3 is 3, you know. Oh, here you go. I enjoy your show. However, I have a few complaints. Normally, I wouldn't complain, but since I moved to South Florida, I find myself complaining a lot. It's like a freaking disease down here. That's correct. George sucks. George sucks. George sucks. Steve Geldy sucks. The old fart's driving and causing accidents. Mute George's microphone because he's irritating my rectum. No more gay talk, please. And George sucks. That's it for today, and it's signed the Big O. The Big Zero. See, we're pronouncing it wrong. It's not the big, it's the Big Zero.
Oh!
He don't got no zero. He's got that solid 1-1 in there, 2-4.
Rock solid.
You bet. Trevor says, I think it's a brilliant idea by Gulfstream Park to do the Friday infomercial promoting them on your show. I look forward to it. My only suggestion would be instead of putting $50 on the nose, they should put 20 across the board. More chances to win would make it seem like it's easier to win money gambling on horses. Love the show, Trevor. Don't be given instruction now about our promotion, okay, Trevor? $50 to win. We don't want to, like, trap place and show money, okay? That's for pansies, Trevor. We want to put it all on the nose.
This is Dick Cheney. I like to relax by having Mary Magdalene massage my balls while listening to the Neil Rogers 12 to 1 hour.
Madonna, 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 it's over for Madonna, 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 Madonna and Guy are getting a divorce, say goodbye. She threw out his clothes and iPod, cause she's got her eyes on a rod, and what's behind is fly. She's single again, heard about it on ESPN. She may start out with chicks, or have them join her and Alex. She loves women and men. Madonna, 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 the men are really wanna, they wanna make love to you. Madonna, 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 a tongue like an iguana, iguana. Madonna in Madonna's veins, she truly misses her whips and chains. One fella just wasn't enough. She needs a pink furry handcuff and sex on buses and planes. She was too bitchy for director hubby Guy Ritchie. It wasn't an if but a when. Just like her marriage to Sean Penn, who will be number three. Madonna, 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 the men all really wanna, they wanna make love to you. Madonna, 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 a tongue like an iguana, iguana, Madonna.
Anyway, I'm eating lunch.
Good.
And I'm having the Chinese. This is leftover from yesterday.
Good.
It's crispy fried ginger chicken.
Sounds good.
Mmm. Very good. Does it sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're eating with your mouth full.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell Neil
that's why I'm doing it, to piss off all those idiots.
It's such a tacky, so classless. Screw you.
It's noon. It's lunchtime. People all across North America are eating lunch. So why the hell can't I? Right?
Right.
I mean, it's like about a quarter of an order that Paco didn't finish yesterday, which is unusual because he's got a giant appetite. For a little punk. But nevertheless, this is good. Although, to be honest with you, I'd rather have like a big plate of cheese blintzes.
Yeah.
731 votes on the poll. If we can make 900, I'd be really proud. Be a real feather in our cap. In fact, Chris would be pretty upset about it. So what's the story with him and those bedtime stories? It's already February 6th.
He's going to be taking them over March 1st, beginning of March, something like that.
Oh, now is this official or are you just making it up?
He sent me an email. When we last spoke about it, I sent him off an email and he responded. I just forgot to tell you.
Well, who's going to teach him how to do it? Because he doesn't know how to do it.
I guess Cordis is going to. They're going to handle that. I don't know.
You're counting on that lunkhead?
No, I'm not counting
drunk,
on. I'm not counting on anything lunkhead? At all. I'm counting on this show ending at 2 o'clock and getting the hell out of here. That's what I'm counting on.
Good. I'm counting on getting my clothes on by then and getting into that cab at 2. Well, you better talk because I'm eating.
Talk?
Yeah. Or play some of that nifty music you're famous for.
Talk with your mouth full.
All right. This is by Jeff Houck in the Tampa Tribune. And why Mama B, who usually sends me good stuff, send me this crap about Jimmy's syphilis? God. Jimmy's syphilis blows.
You fairy.
You got to be kidding me. But nevertheless, how's his wine joint doing?
Mm-hmm.
The one he was in business with Henry Bear.
Oh!
I'll finish this one piece. Because I don't want to talk with my mouth full. Jeff House says, I know Super Bowl week is supposed to be about professional football, and it is, but the emphasis on food and drink is quickly catching up as the focus of the week's festivities. Among the highlights, lunching at Malio's Prime Steakhouse with former Dolphin wide receiver Jimmy Syphilis, now a wine ambassador for Martini and Rossi. Syphilis travels the country promoting the brand's various products, including their sparkling trio, Asti, Prosecco, and Rose, which debuts in April. He even got Joe Rose involved in that. Is that Asti, Prosecco, and Rosé? It's not Rose.
Never heard of him.
You ever hear of Rose wine? Well, you're not a wine connoisseur.
Sure. I have, though. No, not
and
a
neither
connoisseur,
am I.
But I've had some.
Had what?
Wine.
I'll bet.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, this isn't just Jimmy Syphilis exploiting his NFL playing days. Until about 6 months ago, he owned Syphilis' Wine Cellar and Syphilis' Wine Corner in South Florida, which went out of business. He also founded Syphilis' Cave Club, a private wine club, with personal wine lockers, tastings, classes, and meals, and owns a wine collection with more than 1,200 bottles. Plus, his family's winemaking roots go back to his grandpa in Pennsylvania. And so this guy writes a puff piece about Jimmy Syphilis. I'm sure that there were other people eating at other restaurants in the Tampa Bay area during Super Bowl week, but that's what Jeff Houck gives us. I wonder if he's kin to Ed Houck, speaking of harness racing families. You think?
Who?
Ed Houck.
Never heard of him.
Upstate New York, baby. Buffalo, Rochester.
Oh, that guy. Never heard
Batavia,
of him.
Batavia. Canandaigua. Geneva. Seneca Falls. Penyan. Binghamton. Mike says, not that you need to be told this, but the markets are the biggest Ponzi scheme ever created by man. I want to say...
I have no line.
No, I want to say this.
Absolutely correct, sir.
And...
I have no
that
line.
That, too. How in the hell is the market up almost 200 points when they announced we lost 50 zillion jobs in the past month, and it's the worst job environment since 92? What a scam. Who in their right mind is actually investing in this environment? You think it's possible that our government manipulates the exchanges to avoid mass hysteria? Could the government manipulate the exchanges? Oh, can that dumb bitch Maria B. give us a valid conclusion on why the markets are going up in a negative environment? Have a great weekend, says Mike. The biggest Ponzi scheme ever created by man. Here comes the bunny, and there goes...
Your money?
Your money. I was going to play a fart sound in there, but I can't do it. How about a raspberry?
All right.
I'm noticing that some of this chicken is dark meat.
Yeah.
Why'd they do that to me?
They're cheap.
Is that what it is?
Well, yeah. What
else? Does that mean?
Dark meat is cheaper.
Why is that?
Because everybody wants the breast, man.
And don't turn it into a racial thing either now.
Because everyone likes breasts.
Karen sends me a dirty email.
Who?
Karen, it's okay to talk with your mouth full, Neil, because we listen to you with our mouths full. Tee-hee-hee, and Karen. Tee-hee-hee. Tee-hee. Cruiser says, you have a lot of sex ads on your station, but not for gay sex. What gives? Well, we don't like, no, this is a macho sports station, okay? We don't like no
gay
sex.
Not what I heard.
This stuff is okay. It lasts a day. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Stuff. Some stuff is even better when you reheat it than when you first make it.
Yep.
Not pasta.
Nope.
Because pasta gets rubbery.
Gets mushy, yeah.
And mushy. Oh, there's nothing worse than overcooked pasta. Basta. Now, for me, I look at whatever it says on the package, and I boil the pasta 1 minute less. If it says 7 to 9 minutes, I'll boil it for 6 minutes.
Okay.
You got that? Is that okay?
Got it. That's fine. That's,
Okay.
No, you're not supposed to say okay. You're supposed to say, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Better get with it. I shouldn't be eating this on here, but this is my lunch. It's better than going and getting a candy bar at 2 o'clock, a big Snickers with almonds. Oh, you know one thing about Chinese?
What, you'll be hungry in another hour?
That's right. By 2 o'clock, I'll be hungry again. Why do they say that?
I don't know. They say a lot of stuff.
Who's they?
You know those people.
That's why my mother always used to say, well, you know what they say.
Yeah, they make a lot of crap
up. I would say, well, who's they? Who's they? Huh?
I think they live in Iowa.
Come on, Ma. Fess up just this one time. Who's they? She never told me.
It's the Illuminati.
And the Bilderbergers.
The Trilateral Commission.
The Bilderbergers. Very hard to talk with your mouth this full.
Right.
George Ann says, if we were to say Levine with a short I and not a long I, how could Ricky Roma say Shelley the Machine Levine? If we were to say Levine. Shelley the Machine Levine. God, I love that movie, George Ann says. If you could play any quote from that movie, that would be great. Have a hell of a weekend. Oh, it's not George Ann. It's Robin South Miami, who probably masquerades as George Ann on the weekend.
Get the chalk! Hey! Get the chalk. Put me on the Cadillac
board. See, you said we didn't have the short version of that, and we do. I just played
it. We do?
I just played it. It's under Cadillac board.
Okay, I don't have it. It got erased from mine.
Where did you learn your trade, you idiot? Who ever told you that you could work with men? What you're hired for is to help us. Does that seem clear to you? To help us. To help men who are going out there to try to earn a living. You company man. You fairy.
O'Neill.
You're listening to Neil.
Sir Mary Catherine. Jesus.
In the last presidential debate, Barack Obama and John McCain referred to Joe the Plumber 25 times.
Joe the Plumber.
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 Who is this Joe the Plumber? And how did he warrant millions of dollars in free advertising? Has money been pumped into their campaigns by the Plumbers Union? Is the leaky faucet in the kitchen of John McCain's Phoenix estate repaired? Has the dripping showerhead in Barack Obama's Chicago condo stopped dripping? Did they turn to Joe the Plumber while the country was going down the drain? Joe the Plumber. Good for the candidates, bad for America. Preceding paid for by Bob the Builder.
Bob the Builder.
Yes, we can.
Bob the Builder.
Yes, we can.
This is Bob the Builder. I approve this message.
1216 at 560 WQM. I'm done eating. I don't have like moose mouth anymore. Huh? It was good.
Good.
I mean, it wasn't great. It was dark meat in there. What the hell did they do that for?
Told you.
It's cheaper?
Yeah. Don't you know, like, every time you get, like, chicken nuggets, chicken fingers at a restaurant, everything, that's all chicken breast. That's the most popular part
right.
of the chicken. So the most in demand.
I like white meat, baby.
Right? Exactly. So does most other people.
So does most others?
So, yes, they does.
I see. Okay, Maria B. is chimed in, the fake Maria Bartiromo. Hello, Mr. Rogers. I just got finished interviewing Ken Lewis, the CEO of Bank of America. You would think your listeners would have a better question for me than why is the market going up. To answer Mike's question, it's the Obama bounce. I need to run as I'm extremely busy today. Have a wonderful weekend. Sincerely, Maria B. Yeah, likely story, Maria B. Who you really be, Maria B. Huh? Phony bitch. Let's take a look at that gambling channel for a second. It's Power Lunch.
We're now joined with Stephen Stanley.
Dow's up 155 points. Aren't you impressed? Let's see on BNN what the loony is. Aren't you worried about the loony?
No.
Why not?
I'm worried about the toonie.
Oh, oil is down to 39.43. Good. The loonie must be down. It must be down. Because when the oil goes down, the whole Canadian economy goes in the toilet. 80.65, down half a cent. 80.63. Keep going down. Keep going down about 20 cents. Then I could afford to live on this new reduced salary that these grave robbers are paying. Oh, but you only got a 50% reduction, Neil. Everybody else got 5%. That's right. Levine and Levine. Goldstein and Goldstein. There's no rule of thumb, I guess. It's whatever you make it up to be. However you like it. Levine? Okay. Mike Levine? I'm trying to think if I know anybody named Levine. I know a lot of people who are dying on the vine. Most of them at this station, including us. Here's one that says, Buongiorno from Paul. Buongiorno. Thanks so much for posting my poll suggestion about South Florida drivers. I'll try to send you stuff I think might find interesting or germane to your show. I won't become chronic, yada, yada, yada. In that spirit, one of the things I find has fundamentally and substantially altered our political and governmental landscape over the past 25-plus years is the role of the media. The transition from the wink-and-don't-tell days of the Kennedy administration era of media to the piranha-esque feeding frenzy that takes place these days on a daily basis is nothing short of stunning.
Oh, my God.
Granted, much of this can be traced to giant leaps in communication technology and going from what used to be three major networks reporting the news once at 7 p.m. and remember newspapers to dozens of them running 24 hours a day. 24-hour pop, 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 pop.
What element should be in?
Yeah, and out, in and out. However, what I think is more critical, and I believe you would agree, is that the media has gone from simply reporting things objectively to telling us how we should think about every item that appears on the horizon. That's correct, Paul. What we should get excited about, what we should care about. It's one big op-ed piece now combined with the fake legitimacy these people bestow upon themselves simply because they appear in front of a camera or microphone. The latter, however, is very dangerous when coupled with an ever-increasing ignorance level in this country, and this is how you get from Brinkley and Cronkite to Limbaugh and Coulter, all in a scant period of time. Of course, I'm just scratching the surface, of course, and we could dissect this for weeks, so I will stop and submit the following poll suggestion. What would you like to change about today's media? And he's got a bunch of choices on there. Okay, well, thanks a lot, Paul. All the best, says Paul. All the best to you. What's this poll here? Oh, I never gave the final result from yesterday, did
I? Didn't you? I don't remember.
I beg your pardon?
It was a long time ago if you didn't.
What do you mean by that?
It was all the way this morning.
Which of these places would you not be caught dead at? I never gave the final result. We had 797 votes. Gay bar, 206. Not me.
Gay.
Oh, no. NASCAR event, 157. Church, 122. Not me. Westland Mall Tea Room, 100. Not me. Nudist Colony, 53. Fe. Walmart, 30. You know why I say fe? Because the people in nudist colonies are always ugly. So yeah. I've read and seen pictorials, you know, ugly people at nudist colony. Who wants to see a bunch of ugly people naked?
Right.
I don't want to see a bunch of ugly people with their clothes on.
Sure, and if I went, I'd be one of them, so that's why
I'd rather
stay away.
Can you imagine me at a nudist colony?
I'd rather not. Thank you.
They'd be heaving. Walmart, 39. Swingers Club, 37. Golf Course, 27. Nish Tremier. Miami High Life, 21. Cruise Ship, 18. Adult Bookstore Porno Theater, 17. Speaking of that, Harry Potter, Neil's bitch, sends me a long thing about executive compensation and Stephen Ross, the Warner chairman, and it goes on forever. Sorry, Harry. Too long. God. You want to hear it? No.
No.
Don't say go ahead.
No.
Go ahead!
Don't.
No. Don't go ahead. You did that in backwards order. You're supposed... You just don't know how to do it.
Don't.
Go ahead! That's it. Excelente. $7.57 on today's pool. We're going to do $900 if it's the last thing we do. And then there'll be buzzing around the water cooler. Oh, my God, they don't get $45,000 like they do on the George Sedano show across the street.
Yeah.
With his share, whatever he's got. Keep talking, guys. Keep trying to talk yourself into having numbers because you don't have any now and you're not going to have any. Only Lebeturd has got a number. And that's because we won't stop talking about the ball game, the game, the game, the game, the game. Give me the ball. Give me the jock strap. We won't stop it. We don't want to entertain people 20 hours a day. We want to talk about ball games and people who sniff them and suck them and lick them and sniff them. God. On and on and on. Oh, Paul Sean says, I caught a few minutes of you smacking me around the other day as my less than stellar pull, but just like an abused wife, I hang around for more. Sorry if my pulls can't be as good as Charlie B's. What's your favorite brand of corn pads? Or the Neil-centric, if the Neil Rogers show was canceled, would you cease to exist? Yeah, he's got an excellent point there. Too Neil-centric, those Charlie B pulls. Oh, would you which armpit would you like to smell on Neil first, the right one or the left one?
The middle.
Or the
rectum.
Yeah, the middle one. The little one. Forgive me, but I'm just recovering from handing over my stock portfolio to the U of M for my godson's textbook, says Sean. $175 a pop for a single used textbook. At these prices, they should have Zbigniew Brzezinski come over and read the damn thing to us. He's on the way. Oh, well, I guess somebody has to keep Donna Shalala and Devil Dogs, but what a racket. Lee Harvey Oswald had the right venue at the Texas School Book Depository. He just had the rifle pointed the wrong way. Do you understand what that means?
Nope.
I don't either. Regards, Sean. P.S. Get some damn exercise, you poofy old diabetic. Glad George is feeling better. Poovy.
I don't know what that means.
I have no idea what that means. Poovy. P-O-O-V-Y.
Maybe look it up.
Poovy. He probably doesn't. Yeah, look up Poovy. I know from TV, but I don't know from Poovy. That's your buddy, Sean. Let's see, we have an hour and 20 minutes to go until post time for the second race of Gulfstream.
It means gay.
Oh, gay. I never heard that.
No. Gay.
Came you up call in me the, a fag boy?
Dictionary of sexual terms there.
Really? Well, it sounds like Sean is an area in that he's got some expertise.
Fat, poovy bastard.
51 minutes till the first post of Gulfstream. There's a horse called Parky. The 7 in the first race at Aqueduct. I think we're going to plunge our lungs on Parky. Because it sounds like poovy, doesn't it?
It does a little.
How come I'm not hearing any audio?
From?
The field is now entering the stage.
There's that crazy guy, Tampa.
Welcome to the many outlets throughout the United States and on across Canada.
And all the ships at sea. He sounds like Gabriel Heater.
And sunny.
Sounds like H.B. Kaltenborn.
Fast and the turf course firm. Portable rail remains at
12 feet
as we're moving in line for the first of 10. 9-5 favorite, number 7. Why? Because with jockey Rosemary Holmeister Jr.
See, what did I tell you? Rosemary Holmeister Jr. Oh, she's the jockey. The junior, the daughter.
Wow.
See that? Remember yesterday we were talking about juniors? So the mama, she's retired. She's a trainer now. And Rosemary Holmeister Jr., she did that to differentiate herself.
Will be the great fillet pops.
So when she rides a stinko race, they don't start, you know, screaming at mama. Hey, your mama.
And now the favorite.
I'll tell you.
We'll complete the lineup.
There she is, Rosemary Holmeister Jr.
They're at the post.
Oh, they're in the gate.
Kick it off for another weekend of live racing.
All right.
And they're off.
And they're off.
Pops Lady V is away alertly and raked to the early lead. Sweet Candy Rye is there second. There goes the favorite up on the outside. Why? Because she'll be caught four wide around the first turn. And the last horse away is Dang If I Know. Around the clubhouse turn they go. Pops Lady V has the lead, and from the outside, Why? Because under a strangle, going to the lead on her own. 2.5 lengths farther back, Nan Star racing along third. Sweet Candy Ride to the inside fourth. Then it's a gap of four to Larissa's Dream fifth, and far, far back is Dang If I Know. Only 6 of them as they settle for their journey up the backstretch, and the favorite, Why? Because and Rosemary Holmeister Jr. showing the way by a neck. Now Nan Star moves up on the outside to apply pressure to the leader. The Great Valley Pops, Lady V, trying to stay up there on the fence third. 1 length farther back, Sweet Candy Ride being nudged on fourth. Then it's 5 lengths farther back to Larissa's Dream, and still nothing from Dang If I Know.
You know what I tell you about the
There's
chalk?
3 furlongs to
Rosemary
run.
Is the chalk.
And moving up on the outside,
she's
Sweet
puking.
Candy
she's
Ride.
She's going to finish dead last if she finishes it all.
Out, going to the lead, Pops back Lady
into
V
the
is
field.
Second man start, third, the 9-5
stopping
favorite.
To a walk.
Why? Because it's a
puking his
fourth.
Guts.
As they approach the quarter mile pole, Sweet Candy Ride is in the clear. And
how do you like that for Rosemary Holmeister Jr., huh? Don't blame Mommy.
O'Neill. Friday, you bastard.
after another party with AIG. An $85 billion check was cut, and we were having a party with your bailout funds. Having a party with your bailout funds. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Having a party with your bailout funds. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks to our buddy Marty Sullivan, we're having lots of fun with your bailout funds.
Yeah.
Having fun with your bailout fund, yeah, yeah, yeah. Having fun with your bailout fund, yeah, yeah. A parachute for us and golden shower on you. We're having lots of fun with your bailout fund.
Call 33 at 560 WQAM. I got a bad spy report about your close bald friend Tom Jicca.
Oh, no.
Coming up momentarily. You know that seven horse in the first race at Aqueduct? Oh, here he comes now. Not good.
Aw.
I think he finished a desperate third in a five or six horse field. Tim in Tampa says, why don't you have someone on your show who knows something about slot machines? Oh, yeah, that would be a good show. That would be like a baseball card show.
Sounds great.
Don't you have any callers or emailers who play slot machines all the time? Here you're talking about Woodbine all the time. What about Las Vegas? A lot more casinos there, so your chances could be a lot better. Oh! Oh, my God. That's like Ray Perry. If we had 8,000 sports talk stations, it would bring a lot more people to sports talk. A lot more casinos there, so your chances could be a lot better. Tourist trap. Can you say tourist trap? Repeat after me, Tim. Tourist trap, like Niagara Falls, Vegas. And the spy reports we get are the machines there are tighter than a snare drum these days in Lost Wages. A lot more machines, though, so your chances are a lot better. You follow that logic?
No.
I don't either. So here's Kim with a spy report. I have to admit, during the 6 to 10 hour, I just get so tired of listening to Joe. I know Dan Marino Rose. So today I turned to 790 and listened to that clown, Sid Rosenjew. What an effing clown. He had Tom Jicca on today. You ought to see the way he spelled J-I-D-K-A, Jidka. After a few minutes, the conversation turned to you. Sid was saying that he was the new meat in town, not like that old stale fart on 560, and he proceeded to put you down and talk a lot of Schmidt about you. What bothered me is that Jitka agreed with him about you. I thought you and Jitka were friends for many years. Well, so did I think. But, you know, it doesn't take much to get people to backstab, you know. The only thing I did agree with him was that he thought that Barry Jackass was one of the worst in the business. All BS aside, although we don't agree on a lot of things, you're very entertaining and pleasure to listen to. By the way, bet the house on Yankee victory in the third race at Gulfstream. Well, we don't care about the third race. We're going to be long gone by then. And nobody's got any opinion on my pick of the four in the second race, Langley, which Kevin has got $50 bet on. Nobody's got any input, output. I just looked at the handicrapper for Nicoletti is his name, for our Gulfstream. He also picks the four. How do you like that? So that's a bad sign, I guess. So what do you think about that Tom Jicca backstabbing me on Sid the Kid Show, huh? Sucking up with those losers over there. Oh, my God. The new meat in town with his 1.9 share. Loser. Loser. Every month, every book, every time you turn around, more horrible numbers. And he keeps thinking he can talk himself into it. Oh, he's the new meat in town. Yeah, rotten meat. Stale meat. You can see the rodents running around just waiting to pounce. Oh, my God. The new meat in town. You guys got Leviturd, and that's all you got. You got nothing else, period. Everybody knows that, including Tommy Jidka. I demand an explanation from Tommy Jidka. Don't you demand an explanation?
No.
I don't either, but it sounds good. I mean, that's just unbelievable.
I believe it. Maybe he's sucking up for a radio show of his own over there.
Yeah, that's right. He's not going to get on over here because Eddie Kay isn't here anymore. Maybe he'll wind up on 940 filling in for Eddie Kay when he starts there. One thing about little Tommy, I've always said.
He's bloody stupid!
Right. Dick Cheney says, thanks for playing the bit about my balls. As for the future of America, doesn't look good. Wait till the American people find out what me and my buddy George have really been up to the last 8 years. You ain't seen nothing yet. We in the RNC have got a simple model borrowed from an old Jackie Mason bit. I got mine, get yours. And believe me, I got mine, says Dick Cheney. Got a bad article here about Chinese food, about chinks. I just finished at lunch. Boy, I may have to get on my hands and knees and puke my guts out.
I doubt it.
Chinese restaurant food, unhealthy. Menus loaded with sodium, saturated fat, and calories. Even the veggies. Remember a veggie from Boca? Whatever happened to that? Loser.
I don't know.
Loser. The typical Chinese restaurant menu is a sea of nutritional no-nos a consumer group has found. A plate of General Tso's chicken, for example, is loaded with about 40% more sodium and more than half the calories an average adult needs for the whole day. For the whole damn ding-dong day. The battered fried chicken dish with veggies, that's pretty much probably like what I just had, has 1,300 calories, 3,200 milligrams of sodium, and a whole bunch of saturated fat. I can't read the number. It's blotched out. That's before the rice, 200 calories a cup. After the egg rolls, 200 calories and 400 milligrams of sodium. I don't want to put all the blame on Chinese food, said Bonnie Liebman, nutritional director of the Center for Science of the Public Interest, which did a report released this week. Across the board, American restaurants need to cut back on calories and salt. In the meantime, people should think of each meal as not one but two and bring home half for tomorrow. Well, that's what I just did. I ate the whole thing yesterday and then half of today. The average adult needs around 2,000 calories a day and 2,300 milligrams of salt, which is about a teaspoon of salt. Do you add salt to food ever?
Sometimes.
Never. Never, ever, being the high blood pressure, diabetic, fat old fag that I am.
It's not a good idea, but sometimes it needs it.
Well, in that case, get up and walk out. Throw the food on the floor and get up and walk out. Say, this tasteless, bland crap, you eat it. Sheila Weiss, Director of Nutrition Policy at National Restaurant Association, said that restaurants around the country were already making efforts to offer customers healthier choices. In particular, Chinese restaurants typically offer plenty of options for customers looking to steer clear of fried foods and heavy sauces. In some ways, Liebman said, Italian and Mexican restaurants are worse for your health because their food is higher in saturated fat, which can increase the risk of heart disease. While Chinese restaurant food is bad for your waistline and blood pressure, sodium contributes to high blood pressure, does offer vegetable-rich dishes and the kind of fat that's not bad for the heart. And it goes on and on and on. The group says there's no safe harbor from the sodium on Chinese restaurant menu, but it offers several tips for making the meal healthier. Steer clear of deep-fried meat, seafood, or tofu. Order it stir-fried or braised.
That's all the good stuff.
Like I just had. Look for dishes that feature veggies instead of meat or noodles. Hey, noodles! Hold the sauce. Eat with a fork or chopsticks to leave more sauce behind. Oh, the sauce is the yummy part. Are you kidding me? Avoid salt, which means steering clear of the duck sauce, hot mustard, hoisin sauce, and soy sauce. Share your meal or take home half for later. Ask for brown rice instead of white rice.
O'Neill.
Yes.
You get a lot of it. Sports. With Neil Rogers on Sports Hole Radio, WQAM.
Oh, God, don't go in there. Oh, you hear my stomach bubbling? Oh, it's bubbling.
Work late one night when they saw the sign on the fast food light. They pulled in and gave their order to the girl. And the next thing you know, they started to hurl.
And Taco Bell.
Their stomach started to bloat.
King Taco help.
A burning inside their throat.
It had a smell.
That's when they started to blow.
Not feeling well.
From the bean burrito. It must have been the curse of the quesadilla. It's causing all of this diarrhea. But none of the sick are going to die. They've just got a bad case of E. coli.
From Taco Bell.
Their stomach started to bloat.
In Taco Hell.
A burning inside their throat.
It had a smell.
That's when they started to blow.
Not feeling well.
From the bean burrito. Should have skipped the damn chalupa. You might not have made but super. Next time you pass the sign, say no. Even though it's grilled, so it's good to go. Lots of people got sick and wished that they owned a gun so they could hunt down the people who think outside the bun. The pain from the cramps they
felt deep in their gut. So next time, they'll just go to Pizza Hut.
Not Taco Bell.
Their stomach started to blow
from Taco Hell.
A burning inside their throat.
It had a smell.
That's when they started to blow.
Not feeling well.
From the bean burrito.
From Taco Bell.
Okay, there you go. That's vintage Todd Pettengill, man. You know that voice?
Yeah, Taco Bell.
Yep. That voice.
That's the
47, 13 till 1. We got, speaking of voice, the big
rock solid
at 2 o'clock. He'll turn your ass around. Oh, I see I got mung on the microphone. Look at that. I must have spat on the microphone.
Wow.
Not schmat, spat. Tampa Bay Downs, race 2 is only 3 minutes away. We don't want to hear that. And they're off. And that guy is just a crazy person. Frank in North Miami says, I've been a loyal fan since I first discovered your show in my freshman college year, about 99 or so. It disturbs me to think that the moron majority is pulling the red rug right out from under Mikey Phelps' feet. Mikey Phelps. Imagine what it must have been like to be a grotesque adolescent, Michael Phelps getting picked on by bullies who were inherently drawn to his perfectly satellite dish-like Dumbo ears and grotesquely skeletal body. Imagine the countless rejection by girls slash women. Is there any wonder the kid likes to smoke a joint? Recently, I was flipping through one of my wife's tabloids while taking a Joyce and found an article where they were ripping Phelps an ass about his exploits with a smoldering piece of half-Asian tail. I wonder what the other half was. According to the article, she's some Vegas cocktail waitress turned fashion model for some mom-and-pop clothing line called Pimps and Hoes. Needless to say, she probably would never even have glanced twice at the seemingly retarded Phelps if not for his net worth and endorsements from his now-gone sponsors. But I think guys like Mikey, meaning ugly guys, don't care about that. He just wanted to make a little do-re-mi to be able to afford good high-grade pot and the best escorts that Kellogg's could have paid for. Let Mikey get laid, do a couple of hits from the bong, and stop busting the poor guy's goofy bastard's balls, if he has any. As for the disappointed children, it's even more disturbing that American parents want for their children to look up to somebody because he can swim really fast and even more other significant people who truly have an impact on society. He's an athlete, not Einstein. Cut the crap. Sorry if the email is nonsensical. I'm pulling off a big gut-wrencher joint as I'm writing this, says Frank. No, it's not. It's good stuff. Although the P.S. doesn't make any sense to me. Frosted Flakes suck. It's all about Cocoa Pebbles, baby. Oh, Cocoa Pebbles.
I like them fine, but...
I don't like cocoa, first of all.
I like cocoa.
Anything. You do?
I do.
I like Ovaltine.
Like chocolate. Yeah. Ooh.
I like Ovaltine right out of the jar.
You betcha. With a spoon, baby.
Right. That's right. That's the way you eat Ovaltine. And then you let it melt. You let those buds melt on your tongue.
I like the regular and the malted because, you know, they make Ovaltine with, you know, malt.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
I better get to my supermarket this weekend. The Dominion, the big one. What was the other? Oh, and Hamburger Helper. Oh, I'm going to be very sick on Monday. See ya. Well, what's the day that you're not working this month? The 20th?
President's Day, whenever that is.
When is it?
It's the 16th, Monday the 16th.
Well, that's a week from Monday.
Yeah.
So who's going to be working for you?
Flea, I presume.
Now, let's see. The first race at Gulfstream isn't that far off. Let's take a puke and see what's going on there. Scratch the 7 in the first race. I wonder if there's any scratches in the second race. Now, which one do I like? I didn't look at the form for the first race because we're not betting that. The 3. What the hell was that? Abar Koa, Imperior. The 3. He's 7-2. He's the third choice. 4 is 3-1. The 6 is 3-1. Who did I pick? The
3.
Oh, no, the 4. Oh, Julian Leperoux, the frog jockey, is on the 2. Julien Leperoux, but Abar Koa, the 3. 3-1 on the morning line, he's 7-2. So that's just for practice. That's just for fun. Don't get all excited about that one, Kevin. That one don't count. Why don't we do one of those KDKA things? Oh, we're going to give you $1 billion in a suitcase. I mean,
yeah.
First of all, how stupid is that for them to do it? And number two, how stupid can be the contestant, the listener, who thought he won $1 million? Jesus, God.
Stupid,
so
but,
many.
You know, a lot of people presume, you know, that it's not allowed to lie like that.
And do
so,
they?
And so they believe it.
Well, we lie all the time.
Sure we do.
Just like that crap. You're a sports leader. Yeah, well, what does that mean? Well, what
it's
does
not
that
even
mean?
English.
You're the sports leader. 796 on the poll. You're not going to make no 900. That's sad. Now, I got a really good article. I think I better leave it for the 1 o'clock. From a smirking chimp. Your war on drugs. Reefer mad sheriff to charge Phelps based on photo. It's a good article. It's from a smirking chimp. Not that long. James Duke McCabe says, 940 Fox Sports, didn't they try that already? Yes. Just what South Florida needs, another sports station in addition to the 800 we already have. What a bunch of a-holes. Thanks for doing what you do. We love you, George, too. How do you like that?
Thank
they
you.
Love us.
We love them back.
Oh. Dempsey says, funny you should mention the smokes. I was talking about the price of a faggot the other day. I don't especially smoke myself. I have no mind to pay attention to those in front of me online, any convenience store where I shop. However, yesterday an occurrence struck me. I was manifested the possible observations you just put forth. Wow. What a mouthful of mumbo jumbo gumbo that is. I was third in line in a bit of a hurry. Perhaps that's why I heard the transactions, or rather the lack thereof, take place. The man two in front of me looked to be a laborer and had jeans and a workwear. This is some British goofball. Dempsey. And a work-weary shirt. He asked the clerk for a pack of merits. The clerk retrieved them and promptly said, $5.75. To that, the man was literally taken aback. What? The clerk, not quite as cliche-sounding as the Parliament Light guy, but of packy descent, no doubt, shrugged and looked barren as if to say, sorry. The would-be customer looked in his wallet, shook his head, and withdrew, leaving the store. Wow, $5.75, I thought to myself, damn. The next customer, looking much like a white-collar fellow, stepped up, not having heard what just transpired. Pack your camels unfiltered, he said. The clerk retrieved them. $5.75. The man in the white collar shuddered, literally like he just got slapped. He hesitated, pondered, then walked away under his breath, muttering, I gotta quit smoking. Besides being startled, someone actually still smokes unfiltered and curious over the idea how seemingly surprised habitual smokers were by the price presented to them, I thought the same thing you just did. The economy's gonna get a Schmidt load of cigaretters to say no. Well, that's good. Maybe keep them alive for a while. By the way, this is my alter ego. You know me by my real name otherwise. Also, it says, is it a coincidence Italian priests have more of an alter ego than do priests of Irish descent? Get it? Ha, ha, ha. Do you get it?
Go ahead.
No, I don't get it.
No.
Ha, ha, ha. Well, he got a big chuckle out of it, just like, what's his name? Your buddy from Religious, Bill Maher.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a panic. Just ask him. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, ho, 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 ho. I've always said there's nothing worse than somebody trying to be funny who isn't, but there's something actually worse.
Right,
somebody trying to be funny who isn't, who laughs at their own lines,
mm-hmm.
who's not even mildly amusing. That's bad. That's evil. $7.99 on the poll. We got to get to 800 and something first before we got a shot. I think 850 would be good. Let's not push it too hard. Remember the seeds you're pushing too hard?
Yeah.
No, you don't have to play it.
I'm not going to.
Well, why not?
You want me to?
No. Okay. Well, I mean, if you got it.
Go ahead.
No, don't. Because we got to do the break, and we actually have to get ahead a minute or two, because when we get to, like, 145, you know what's going on.
Right. It's the 1 to 2 hour.
Today on TMZ.
Angelina, you're on the cover of W Magazine breastfeeding your twins.
I am.
And you're breastfeeding now, I see.
Yeah, certainly for now. It's my job.
Your job? You're breastfeeding not only your new twins, you're nursing all six of your kids, including the seven-year-old.
Mmm, it tastes so good. It's yummy.
That's weird.
It's also smart.
Wait a minute. That's the neighbor's kid.
But no child left behind means no child left behind.
He's 15 years old. Hey, get out of here, you little freak.
I'm sorry, man. I'm pretty drunk.
Today on TMZ.
1 o'clock at 560 WQM. 50 minutes to post for the first race at Gulfstream. 44 minutes until we find out if I picked a winner for Kevin. I don't have any comment on the second race on our emails. Nobody's saying, oh, we don't like the horse you picked, or we think we agree, or plunge your guts on this one.
Didn't you get a whole bunch of feedback the other times?
Not a whole bunch, but a couple, you know.
Something?
A little something-something. And I got that one comment about the third race, which isn't our race. So what do we care about that, huh? Do we care? No.
No.
There's that obnoxious Kira Phillips on CNN. Let me change over to the racing channel right away. Oh, we just finished the second race at Aqueduct, and the 2-1, 6-5, the chalk. Told you, bet the chalk. When in doubt, plunge your guts on the chalk. Not. Yeah, that Rosemary Holmeister Jr. piece there in Tampa. Wow. Went up and contended for a little bit and then just started backing away and then puked its guts out like, oh, I'm all done. Let's go back to the barn and let me take a dump. Or let me take a dump right now. Now, that always has kind of grossed me out a little bit about horses.
Really?
I mean, dogs don't do that.
No.
They don't, like, lift their tail and drop a load because dogs, no. First of all, have to squat.
Right.
Like people, you know.
Right.
But horses, they don't have to squat at all. They just lift their tail and, you know, like that.
Go. What are you going to do about it?
What am I going to do? I'm going to reinvent it.
I see. Gonna try,
I mean,
to
if
stop
I'm...
To it.
Oh, God!
I'm going to reinvent the Haas. Anyway, here's that article. This is Your War on Drugs from Smirking Chimp. Mr. Michael Phelps' picture on the net a couple days ago, allegedly smoking from a bong and prompting an apology yesterday, is now causing him some more trouble. This is because a backwards South Carolina sheriff who is tough on drugs, reads backwards and probably Republican, has decided to see how far he can push this. That's despite the picture being published in another country. The allegation is the picture is taken in South Carolina, somewhere in his country, so the reefer mad sheriff there is on the case. Spending taxpayer money to bring this criminal to justice, reefer madness lives in South Carolina for sure. A spokesman for Richland County Sheriff Leon Lott, who's known for his tough stance on drugs, said Tuesday the department was investigating. Our narcotics division is reviewing the information we have, and they're investigating what charges, if any, will be filed, said Lieutenant Chris Cowan, a spokesman for the agency, another spokeswoman. This is exactly how marijuana stays illegal in America. This is how stupid things about marijuana will never go away. The unholy interaction of dumb cops and dumb journalists leave us with a dumb situation. First, note how the cops switch narcotics for marijuana. The sheriff never even says the word in the article. It's all narcotics. Pot is not a narcotic. This is stupid. The police have adopted this narcotic classification to fit with their propaganda bullshit of equating pot smoking with heroin addiction. Liars and deceivers working for your tax dollar, lying through their teeth. Here we get to dissect a little bit of it. The Richland County Sheriff can pursue charges as long as the party was in the country, the spokesman said. The bottom line is if he broke the law, as he did it in Richland County, he's going to be charged, Cowan said. And there's no difference between Michael Phelps and several other people we arrest for the same type of charge every day. This is how cops manage to spend their time arresting 850,000 people a year. This is how cops arrest more people for pot than for all violent, real crimes combined. Note, he adds, we arrest several people a day for marijuana possession. He is so proud of his actions. This is just mean-spirited aside from being ultra-dumb. Obviously, the sheriff has nothing else pressing in his county. It's the vendetta of the reefer mad. What a friggin' idiot. Phelps hasn't hurt anybody, and he hasn't even hurt himself. People who suggest as much simply don't know what they're talking about. They don't read about this. They don't do their own thinking or research. They just regurgitate the schmidt that people like Sheriff Dimwit here spews to the news. I want to see them waste more taxpayer money, since it's a bottomless GD pit, trying to probe what is in a picture that can't actually be seen. Because marijuana is alleged to be involved in police ideologies, no expense will be spared because Phelps damages the propaganda stream. He's a successful person who smokes pot and therefore has to be destroyed. People are not to be wildly successful and smoke pot. A lot of people say marijuana is not important. They clearly don't do research and their ideas are hilariously devoid of easily verifiable knowledge. Clearly, it's one of the most important things in the world to cops. This is your war on drugs. That's America for you, baby. 850,000 people. Evildoers. Oh, they're coming out for the post parade at Gulfstream.
In places like Kentucky and Illinois and Indiana, as it is here today.
We'll catch up for sure.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna definitely move out. And actually, the weatherman got it right. We've got cloudy skies right now. And they said that was going to be because the wind was going to be shifting around. It's now coming onshore and blowing this cloud cover in from off the water. But that means it's going to start getting warmer as well. And so if you were planning a trip down to sunny South Florida, we promise it will be warm when you get here in a couple of days.
Right.
So come on down and we'll see you then. Meanwhile, we've got a fun nine-race card coming up today, a fast track and a firm turf course this afternoon. And, Ronnie, a couple of solid... favorites that you like on the card here.
Rock
early,
solid.
Your best bet of the day, U.S. Treasury, as we go into this first.
Yeah, and I've been sort of walking around the track. I thought this horse was going to open up at lower odds. Now, actually, the favorite at 5-2, but it was just holding steady at 3-1. But, you know, they're starting to come around now. And the reason I like the number 4, U.S. Treasury, this one is a half to grade 1 Don Handicap runner-up. He's an old salt who was ran for Nicky Zito. And also another grade 1 stakes place horse who ran very here, well here at Gulfstream, Mongoose. This one's
Mongoose. Can't pass up a good Mongoose. That's what I've heard. Here's one from Larry. It says, Brian, don't call me Liberace Jr. Brian Craig. Steve Kanahori's Tulsa Slicker. Here's a guy trying to be funny. Jewish funny. Dear Neil, I do listen to Steve Kane. I guess I'm a masochist, but as the Godfather told Michael, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. This scum slash doodlebag is pathetic, knocking anything progressive regarding politics, religion, human relationships, science, new ideas, etc. I don't care if someone is straight, gay, or ochamve, but this subhuman, if you look up the word direct in the dictionary, you'll see his picture, is a rock-bottom amateur. No kidding. Craig said years ago you wanted to hire him, offering to double his salary. But he said no because he wanted to stay with Kane. Is that possible? No, I never offered Brian Craig a job, and I don't know what I would have offered him because I don't hire anybody. He never passes the opportunity to mock and deride you and George and pass scurrilous homophobic statements and criticisms. What is the emiss? Is this the Ted Mack Amateur Hour simply? Well, you're listening to it, Larry. Why, I have no idea. Didn't you once say that in the past he and your esteemed barrister, Norman Kent, were once involved and that Norma said Craig was lousy in bed? Again, to each his own. And do no harm, as you say, are guidelines I try to follow. But this hypocrite is a prime example of the closed-minded, bigoted right-wing mentality that's resulted in our country's present predicament. As soon as Kane retires, I'm sure he'll return to his former lofty employment bag boy public supermarket. In closing, again, not to be Godfather intensive, but isn't it true that Norma Kent did business with Saul Foos? No, Saul Foos did business with me. Oh, and this goes on. Norma never trusted Saul Foos. Oh, my God. You know, this must be from a Petey Lenny.
Maybe.
I can't think of anybody in the world trying more desperately to be funny who absolutely is not.
Oh,
Neil. Oh, Larry.
It's Friday, you bastard.
You wanted more, and you got it. The Mad Dog is back, singing more duets on Vantage Scenes, Volume 2.
Yes! Yes!
Old number 88 is back, pairing off with the greats, singing more big hits with even more big stars. The Mad Dog does them all. An all-new British Invasion with the Mad Dog singing like a man.
I like it. I like it.
The truth is finally out that Jim Mandich was truly the fifth Beatle.
You gotta give me little loving, give me little loving.
Oh!
If you want our love to last, me. And now you're here to stay. You always hear me.
Hear the Mad Dog's tender and touching tribute to the king, Elvis.
Was just a little ambivalent when we asked him if he wanted to do it again.
Nah, I don't think so.
So we had Luca Brasi pay him a little visit and tell him either his brains or his signature would wind up on the contract.
That son of a bitch was huge.
Bandit Sing, Volume 2, available now if you move quickly.
All right.
Well, they're going in the gate for the first at Gulfstream. This isn't a race. This is a practice dry run.
Little all right.
Double bullet and U.S. Treasury.
I picked the three. Imperior.
Okay.
With A-bar Cora. He used to be I-bar Cora.
And War of the Rangers.
I guarantee you that last email was from a P.D. Lenny. Trying desperately to be Yiddish funny. Give it a rest, Petey. Go sell something, okay? Times are tough. Pay cuts everywhere.
War of the Ranges coming up.
Yeah.
They're all in line.
All right. And away they go.
They're off. A very slow start for Double Bullet. U.S. Treasury had a good beginning and goes out to the early lead.
Hands
Bet the Limit.
Knees.
Here comes Desired on the inside. The three of them speed out for the lead. And then comes War of the Ranges fourth on the far outside. Imperior is right behind them, tracked by Blazing Taurus. East to West is second last, leaving the chute. And the slow-starting Double Bullet is well behind. The first quarter was 24-3. Up the backstretch, Desired and Jose Lezcano lead the way. A half-length lead over Bet the Limit. U.S. Treasury sits two lengths off of them. Then it's War of the Ranges to the outside and fourth. Followed by Imperior, Blazing Taurus to the outside. East to West is six lengths off the lead and two clear of Double Bullet as they pass the half-mile pole. The half went in 48 seconds flat. Into the far turn. Desired and Bet the Limit, 1-2. Desired is the leader by a head, Bet the Limit second. To the outside, War of the Ranges, Imperior down at the rail. Then comes U.S. Treasury between horses. East to West is next, Blazing Taurus, and the trailer is Double Bullet. They arrive at the quarter pole, and it's Bet the Limit in front. Desired to the inside second. Just off of them, War of the Ranges is third, Imperior. Right behind the leaders beginning to move up. And then comes East to West and U.S. Treasury. They're into the stretch, and it is Bet the Limit by the eighth pole in front with War of the Ranges bearing down on the outside. These two by the 16th pole together. Bet the Limit, War
Smith
of the Ranges. Nose to nose, Bet the Limit, War of the Ranges down to the wire. War of the Ranges in time. Over Bet the Limit.
And the experts pick there, the four. Oh, here he comes. At least I beat him anyway. So it's a good thing that was just a dry run. The three was right there challenging and puked his guts. Well, that's the way it goes. The six won it. The nine won it. 9-6. So you lose. Tampa Bay Downs, third race coming up.
They're at the post.
And they're off.
And they're off.
Okay, that's enough of that. Okay, 118 at QM, so we got to 144 for the second race. Hopefully we'll have better luck, you know, in the second race for Kevin.
Hopefully.
Aren't you pulling for him?
I'm pulling something.
$50 win ticket for on the four horse. Not one email about the second race. Good, bad, or indifferent. Nothing.
Oh, well.
We just don't have, like, a lot of horse racing experts. We got a lot of perverts, but not any experts out there.
Right.
We don't have, like, any inside, you know, insiders.
See, this is when I really miss Fat Rich. Because he'd be there, Yenta-ing for us, you know, Taunton and...
Orlando Fernandez writes, love your show, Neil. Been a long-time listener since 98. George is a genius with his quick-witted remarks. After everything you say, that might be inviting for a cheap shot. Anyways, I wanted to know when the last time was you were to Flagler Dog Track. About 100 years ago. I live two blocks from it, and they are demolishing it to make a casino-like venue with racing. Drive by there every day and wonder how the place is still in business. By the way, is there a way to petition WIOD to get Jimmy Syphilis out of morning drive? It's already caused me to regurgitate my breakfast after hearing him with his constipated voice. Love your show, Neil. P.S. Is there any other market in the U.S. with worse play-by-play guys than Miami? Jimmy Syphilis, Joe Zagacki, and Geldy Geldstein. Probably not. Miami's always number one in, like, you know, STDs, things like that. Any truth to the rumor that Eddie Kay and Hank Goldberg will join the new 940 sports station coming soon? I don't know. Don't know. Where do you think Randy Rhodes will appear if they scrap her WYNZ? Well, she's on in Scare America. Just who knows if locally anybody's going to pick that up. You think?
Casablanca, babe. Down to the wire. It's
down to the
untouched.
Wire. Down to the wire. In the shower of the wire.
Get whatever that guy's doing. Get some of it.
I'd like some.
Have a great weekend. And don't yank it too hard at Woodbine, I mean. Yeah, okay. Whoa. Oh, Chef Sparky, you're a real clown. Oh, so anyway, speaking of yanking the machines, of all people, Jimmy Dworsky, who says, sorry for the long email. Oh, you are just a lunatic. Oh, and you know something I just noticed for the first time?
What's that?
What his email address is, his handle?
Yeah.
Jimmy Dworsky at CubsFan07.
Mm.
You don't think he could be that Cubs guy, do you? You on the bandwagon yet, Neil? Oh, God. I shouldn't have asked a question because now he'll write another 40,000-word reply. Neil, I'm an electronics and techno geek. I've read many times that slot machines still don't have the full and real capability to generate random numbers, which is what it all comes down to. No, they do not. They're programmed much, much more carefully than that. There's nothing random about them. All the close misses, you know, like three, four of them in a row. Programs need to be written by actual people, and no one has been able to truly write code that can do this. Therefore, one way or another, whatever pops up on your machine has a certain predictability, however mathematically complicated it may be. What we do know, however, is that casinos obviously want machines that will not just keep paying out all day long. Well, why not? That's what I want. I want a machine that just starts paying from the very first, from the get-go. Programmers do have the capability to ensure you lose more than you win. No kidding. All they have to do is code the software to recognize winning scenarios and execute them as rarely as possible. Since most slots now are nothing more than computers that crap cash, you can guarantee that whatever game you're playing is also playing you. It may tease you with a few bucks here and there, but the big jackpots aren't going to be easy. Also, the machines have the ability to know how much cash you're inserting, so if it detects a pattern where you're a cheap bastard who puts in dollar after dollar, you're going to keep losing and losing. I've always won when starting off with large deposits in the machine because they're programmed to reward real players and to screw over the schleppers and poor suckers. That's a pile of crap. They're programmed to reward the real players. I've seen more people come in and stick a $20 bill in and hit it two or three times to get two, three grand. Jimmy, stick to something you know about because this obviously is not it. And then he goes on with more misinformation. And if you're sitting near someone who wins huge, forget hopping on that machine when they collect their winnings and leave. It's not going to pay out like that for a long, long time. Well, guess what, Jimmy? Stick with a hot machine, man, because generally speaking, they pay a large amount over a short period of time. Don't try it. Like I said the other day, somebody asked me, well, should I watch somebody else lose and lose and lose and then hop on that machine? No, if the machine is dead just because you happen to be sitting at it, that doesn't mean suddenly it's going to give you everybody else's money. Jimmy, you know, you can't complain about your knowledge about these slots because you have none. After learning so much about the tech that goes into slots, I no longer play them. Prefer to stick with cards since I'm playing the man across from me and not some glorified video game. I feel safer playing against someone's skills than the house because the house always wins. You and George have a great weekend, says Jimmy Dworsky.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy D. Now, let's see what the board shows for Gulfstream's second race, okay?
All right.
Because I'm assuming.
Go ahead.
Gulfstream, race two, 21 minutes. And which one did I pick? The four, 6-1. The 1A, the one is scratched and the 1A is in.
Okay.
Now, that's interesting because when they sent me, I don't want to go into it. I don't want to sound like a chronic complainer. But the entries they sent me.
Too late.
Yeah. So the 1A is in. Who done that? Who done that?
Huh?
Not for me. Last out in November and was 12th by 19 lengths. He lost his last two races. Granted, a higher class than allowance races. But he lost his last two races by like 30 or some lengths. 30, that was. Wow. 1A. Oh, now he just went up to 3-1, and the 4 is 7-2. Co-second choice. Of course, there's 20 minutes to post time, so. And the fact that you're not there, that means the pools aren't, like, loaded up with your big bucks.
Oh, yeah.
To knock the price down. Thank God. Let's keep George. Oh, yeah. George kills our price,
man. Oh, yeah, man.
When he puts that 500 to win.
I just moved that board.
It is fun when you go to like a little podunk track like Jackson Harness Raceway.
Yeah.
Which I think is now finished.
You can see your effect.
And you can affect the price. You know, you bet $50 to win and the horse is like one to opens one to five. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have to go to a real small track.
And then, of course, the fun ends when the, you know, race finishes and uh-huh. you have the ticket. Suddenly you found that ticket on the ground. Bill says, Neil, I don't know a lot about radio. Well, that's obvious by the time we get to the end of this, Bill. Why are they firing people like Joey B. in Tampa and cutting wages of employees of Cheap Channel? Well, they're cutting wages here, too, Bill. I mean, you get your numbers from listeners, right? You get your numbers. So I can only assume the salespeople aren't selling spots or people in general aren't advertising. Nobody's got any money, allegedly, Bill. That's the problem. Is this the reason that there are so many cuts? If I were you, I'd be mad as hell. Just trying to add to the show, Neil. You and George keep up the great free entertainment. Not adding to the show at all, Bill, but thanks for your lack of knowledge about the business. like every other business. Everybody is going bust, baby. Everybody claims to be broke. Everybody woke up one day and, oh, my God, everybody's broke and the economy is dead and everybody's having their house forced closed. We all woke up one day and it was like the end of the world. And everybody said, yeah, we're broke. We ain't got no money, honey. That's why I got my pants on and my shirt, my pantaloonies. The four just went to chalk, 5-2. Damn it. How do you like that?
Yep.
It's not a bad price, though. I'd take that. $50 times 7, 350, $175 would be okay.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll go back up to 3-1,
okay.
4-1. 19 minutes till second race at Gulfstream. We don't want to get Kevin nervous, but boy, the pressure is building.
Grab my junior, honey.
Chris Matthews played hardball for 2009. I'll tell you what, I got fat over the break. I ate so much turkey when the doctor put his hand up my colon to do my exam. He pulled out stuffing. I'm serious. It was actual breadcrumbs and chopped onion. Not that you care, but it's going to be a tough year for yours truly. I can't bitch, moan, whine, and complain anymore because my guy's in the White House. Maybe it's time for me to go after another group of people or get a hobby. I've always wanted a hobby. Maybe I'll learn to play the trumpet or the sousaphone. I lost my mind for a minute. Nobody cool plays the sousaphone. It's impossible to look cool while you have that big donut around your head. Why do they always make the fat kid play the sousaphone? Anyway, let's get right to it. Play hardball. My first guest for 2009 is the President of the United States. I should say outgoing George Bush. How are you? You have a crazy laugh. Anybody ever tell you that? You make me nervous. Why are you looking at my zipper? Does it bother you having a last name Bush? Does it answer the question?
Well.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Time's up. Don't answer that question. My next guest on hardball. First episode 2009. Don't have another guest. Real life people don't like me anymore. Won't come out of program. Gotta talk to non-issue people, like congressmen from Maine. What the hell? Guess 2009 makes me the news anchor most likely to play the sousaphone. Hop up back for another year on MSNBC. Happy New Year.
Oy vey. 131 and 560. WQM, you like those?
I do. I love them a lot. They're great.
What did I tell you about Jimmy Dorsky? Immediately he shoots right back. I'm not that other Cubs fan, and this isn't the first time you've noticed. And this email is not 40,000 words. Well, thank God, Jimmy. The other one was 80,000. That's all right. He's okay. He just doesn't know what he's talking about the slots. I mean, less than nothing. See, there's one way to learn about something, and you know what that is?
Do it.
That, exactly. Very good. If I had that bell that you always play, yeah, I'd play it. Do it. Just do it.
I'll do it.
And if you do it and you experience it often enough, you know that all these stories, like that book that you sent me, I mean, it was marginally interesting, you know. And the one thing that was true in there about RNG, random number generator, it's all bullcrap, and they're right. Whoever invents these programs for the slot machines, these people have got to be two things. Number one, geniuses, and number two, sadists. Look at that. The four is hanging in there as the favorite, 5-2, but still a good price. 1A is 4-1. 3 is 3-1. What's the 3? Oh, 3 was wooden something. Knock on wood. I forget. Yeah, knock wood. That's another stupid expression, knock wood. Wooden Indian. See, I told you, it's a bow camper horse. Wooden engine. With Carlos Marquez.
I sure wish I had that channel you got.
Well, you don't have it.
I don't.
Alan Garcia, excellent jockey, by the way, riding the four. He's Peruvian. And he is really... But that's, you know, we don't bet on jockeys because they look good, you know. At least I don't. I might watch them a little more intently if they tend to be, you know, like...
Yeah.
Javier Castellano. 842 votes on the poll. What ethnic food is the best? Which one do you like the best? Italian, 319. Just kicking ass, the Italiani. Mamma mia. Spicy meatball. How come we don't have spots like that anymore? That's a spicy meatball, huh? We don't. It's like everything else. The quality of everything has degenerated to a cock-a-poo, you know.
Caca-poo.
This weekend is a long weekend?
For who?
And that's what Paco says.
I thought every weekend was a long weekend for him.
I don't know what it is. But at any rate, 842 on the pool. Italian 319, American 81, Cuban 73, Mexican 70, Thai 60, Chinese 56, French 31, Indian 28, Japanese 26, Greek 19. 10 minutes still post time for that race, and the four still 5-2. Caribbean 19, Jewish 19, meaning Delhi, Puerto Rican 17. Still nobody told me what Puerto Rican cuisine is like or what it is.
Yeah, I can't tell you.
Soul food 9, British 5, Polynesian 4, African 4, and Ruski, Russian 2. I think you drink Russian cuisine. Vodka. Vodka.
Okay. I'll start maybe, this weekend.
Maybe Monday is a Canadian holiday of some kind.
Good point.
Is it? Is it on your calendar?
No, I ain't got no Canadian calendar.
Well, what do you mean by that? Oh, I think it's that cockamamie family day or something that Stephen Harper came up with. Sit around it with all the other Nazis and be a family, something like that. At any rate, Wesley says, this goes on. This is an article that's, they'll be running the last race at the Gulfstream by the time I would get through reading this. It says, at first glance, it might be seem to be too long for you to read aloud. A-L-A-L-O-A-D. A-L-O-A-D. A-L-O-A-D. But it's tremendous and surprisingly fast read. Yeah, out loud. Wow. Rosie says about Bluebell ice cream. Well, this is good. Oh, you know what? We better do the break early. Because it's
right.
9 minutes till
That's
post
right.
time.
Do it.
1A is 7-2, the 3 is 3-1, the 4, the one I picked, is 5-2, favorite. But just barely. We don't want no short price. We don't want no, 6-5, 3-5. We don't want crap like that. That's no excitement. But 5-2 isn't bad. That's a $7 Haas. Rosie says, I'll keep it short. It's late. 5:28 in the morning, no less, this morning. I'm in Cave Creek, Arizona. It's like the Davy of Phoenix. After all the bluebell talk, me and the boyfriend decided to give it a try. Got a half gallon, half and half, half vanilla, half chocolate. He likes chocolate ice cream, I don't. And the bluebell is readily available here. Don't waste your money. A lot of chocolate Breyers is eaten in this house, and you're better off with it. The ice cream is boring. Not worth it if you're used to a higher creamy fat stuff. I prefer Ben and Jerry's. And now we have half gallon of that crap, $3.99, sold for almost $7 in another store. And now we have half a gallon of that crap sitting around. Unemployed, not loving it, listening on the archives. Thanks, Insomnia. Give my kisses to George. And Religious will make you laugh your ass off. DVD rips are out, George.
I got a free
which
copy
means
anyway.
Steal me a copy.
O'Neill!
It's Friday, you bastard.
Welcome to Hardball on MSNBC. I'm Chris Matthews. I gotta be honest with you. I feel like a little fluffy white kitten who's just been given a warm bowl of milk. I feel like a completely different person since we have our new president, Barack Obama. It's just like on that show Ghost Whisperer with Jennifer Love Hewitt, who plays psychic medium Melinda Gordon. When she looks at Sam, she sees a dead husband Jim's face, because when he died, he jumped into Sam's body. I draw the parallel because when people look at me, they see me, Chris Matthews from Hardball on MSNBC. But when I look in the mirror, I see a little girl in a pink romper, my hair in pigtails, licking a lollipop with like a 2-foot circumference. I feel like Rose from 2 1/2 Men, you know, Charlie Stalker girlfriend. I'm totally in love with a man who doesn't know I'm alive. But it matters not. People say to me, hey, Chris, what about the fact that the Dow plunged to its lowest level in Inauguration Day history? So what? People say to me, hey, Chris, how can we possibly create 4 million new jobs under the Obama administration? I say he can. He's a candy man. He can take a rainbow, wrap it in his side, soak it in the sun, and make it gravy lemon pie. I feel like a cherry Pop-Tart that's been baked golden brown to perfection in the toaster oven, and it's just sitting on the counter waiting to be consumed. I feel like Angelina Jolie's underpants. It's a new day. Same old crappy economy, wars, horrible real estate market, endless despair and divisiveness, but now we have a president who can take tomorrow, dip it in a dream, separate the sorrow, and collect up all the cream. Obama can. Obama can. He's a candy man. I'm Chris Matthews playing Hardball on MSNBC.
Who can take a sunrise?
Who can take a sunrise? And then sprinkle it with dew. Obama can. It covers even chocolate and a miracle or two. You know why? He's a candy man.
Okay, 1:43 at QM. We got about a minute till post time. And the four is 2-1. He's the chalk. But not heavy chalk. 2-1 is $6 hoss. So that would be a nice $150 thereabouts. Probably a little extra change on top of that for Kevin. And here's the end of the fourth race at Tampa.
Spirit, Al's Lightning is trying to battle back, but down to the wire.
Close down to the wire.
The deal. And Mon's trip on the outside. Close the deal, getting very leg-weary, but she'll hang on to take it on the wire by two.
Now I'm wondering out loud, maybe you want to work on Monday, and I'll take Monday off.
Say what?
It's a Canadian holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
That didn't sound like a very positive response.
No, it's also an Uzbekistani holiday, and I'm taking that off.
Oh, no. So I guess the answer is
no. Slacker.
Okay, the four is 2-1. They're going in the gate at Gulfstream.
Who didn't know that goes in? Who done that now into the gate?
One is 4-1. The three is 5-2. And the four, our horse.
Here is Wooden Indian.
Langley, 2-1.
Broadway, Bobby Z, the next one.
Bobby Z. Is he kin to Joe Z?
Followed by Langley. 5,000. Masharka. Waiting for Alicero. And Ottaviani.
They're all in.
They're all in line. They're off. Ottaviani
well, the
on the far outside
just fine,
on
the
well.
Inside.
There goes 5,000 out to show some early speed. Masharka's right there, too, with Broadway.
It's a short race, by the way. It's
who
only 5.5 for a
and Langley on the inside. Alicero is next, and then Who Didn't Know That? And Wooden Indian in the back. Tightly packed, they make their way into the far turn, and it's Masharka to the inside. And right alongside, battling for the lead, is Who Done That? Who now just took up sharply. Something went wrong here with Who Done That on the far turn.
The four is fourth, sitting right there.
It is now Masharka to the inside. And moving up on the far outside is Ottaviani. 5,000 between horses is right there with Broadway Bobby Z. Needing running room is Langley down at the rail. Then it's Alicero. And on the far outside, Who Didn't Know That trying to close in. Into the final furlong.
Second.
And it is Masharka.
Langley
coming up
the
fence. Who Didn't Know That to the outside is also right there.
I think
it is Langley. Who Didn't Know That? Far outside, Wooden Indian closing on the rush. And they hit the wire very close up here. Langley or Who Didn't Know That? Wooden Indian. On the outside.
We might have got it. And then again, we might not. See, they show such an angle on there, you couldn't even see the horse on the outside where his nose was. We had the lead. Are you with me?
I got nothing to say about it.
Well, I can't tell because we don't have anybody out there. If your buddy Steve Sloan was there doing, you know, his thing.
He might be. I don't know.
He'd send us a text message and say, don't worry, the four held on. I don't know.
They'll tell you, though, right?
Well, now they're running a race from Dubai on here. They'll tell you eventually. We had it right up till the line, and then whatever that other horse was came flying out of nowhere. Just like 2 weeks ago. Just like two freaking weeks ago. And he didn't call it. He called it either or. So I guess we'll do the break, and hopefully somebody will, maybe we got somebody out there that's going to let us know. And then they'll post it, and we'll see it on here, on HPI. A lot of pressure, baby. A lot of pressure. My heart is in my throat. You believe me?
No.
Objection disallowed, race two at Gulfstream, so it's going to be official. There was an objection. I don't know by whom against whom.
Not against our horse. $6 to win. We won.
Six even. So that's $150 for Kevin. 2 out of 3 weeks are at the wiener. How much did we win by? Who's this? Steve telling you this?
Yeah, he's just sending me texts, though.
And how much did we win by? An ostrich?
He did not say.
Doesn't make any difference. You don't got to win.
Right.
See, that's one thing. It's like these idiots that bet on sporting events where you got to give spreads, point spreads, football games, hockey games, baseball games, stuff like that. Point spreads. Oh, you got to win a race by at least 3 lengths, otherwise you lose. You know, what is that? In horse racing, either you win or you don't. And we won. Aren't you thrilled? Aren't you excited?
I am.
Ecstatic? Objection disallowed, Gulfstream Race 2. Well, thank God for that. Thank the Lord. Paid $6 even. Nice handicrapping job there. Boy, it's a good thing he had room there at the rail. He came sneaking through on the inside. Just had room to get through. And won probably by a desperate neck. A desperate nostril. By a schnoz. We wanted 850 on the poll. We got 860. What a great way to end the week. So you're sure you don't want to work on Monday?
Yeah, pretty sure.
That's not the holiday anyway. It's the 16th, somebody emailed me. It says, the next long weekend here in Canada is Monday, February 16th. It's not a federal holiday. It's a provincial holiday. This holiday was started last year. Dalton McGinty, the premier of Ontario, he belongs to the Liberal Party, but he's a Nazi, says Joe from Toronto. Dalton McGinty started this holiday? I thought it was that Nazi Stephen Harper started. Well, who cares? The politics here is a joke. Let's get the Governor General on there to read the throne speech again and see if everybody's really going broke or not. Well, that's bad. The angle that they show, it's a good thing you can't see. You'd be very upset.
Okay.
I mean, I was upset because all I can see is our horse is taking the lead, and it looks like he's got it. And then all of a sudden, on the far outside, here comes some other horse flying like a bandit. And then when they get to the wire, you can't see where the outside horse is because they shoot it on a real angle from way off to the left of the finish line.
Yeah.
So cut it out. Too much pressure, man. I'm going to stroke out right here on the air. Ken says Randy was canned during the primaries. I forgot about that, but it doesn't make any difference because wasn't INZ carrying her show even though she wasn't on Scare America? Yes. Mm-hmm. She's now with Nova M Radio, right. Her home station is 1290 in West Palm Beach, JNO. She follows the pill-popping fat ass, says Ken. Well, you're right about that, Ken, but she was on 12-4 on the 940. And whether she's going to continue being on somewhere in the Miami market, who knows? Who knows? Who cares?
Well,
you know, like that. I don't want to seem indifferent, but you know what?
You're indifferent?
Right. Good guess. Tim in Miami says the Phelps case is a perfect... And, you know, I did the break. I don't know why I did it there. Why did I do
I don't know.
It?
You're going crazy.
Well, I was waiting. To, I didn't know
mind.
We had...
Too what? Much excitement. Too much pressure.
Yeah. Caving under the pressure. I can't handle it. Too old and feeble. Although I got my shoes on now and my shirt and my pantalones.
Good.
And I'm ready for Woodbine. Make a couple of million this afternoon. I hope I do as well there as I did for Kevin.
Right.
That's pretty good. And by the way, the three that the handicrapper picked, I think he's still running. And the 1A that got all the early money there, whatchamacallit, what you think, he, on the last turn, man, he came as close to falling right down on his ass. Took a bad step, and oops, there he goes. Right to the back of the pack with the three. So I don't know what the name of the handicrapper is there at Gulfstream, but boy, I sure got him beat today anyway. No, I don't know the difference, because there's one guy that does it online.
Okay.
And then there's this guy that they have with a real heavy New York accent. Well, this one's a full sister to a full brother to your mama to, you know. Great. He knows the ganze mishpocha. That's good. I'm real happy for you. And by the way, I never got a reply from the real Tom Jicka with his code word on there or anything else. Defending his indefensible behavior with Sid the Yid this morning, ripping me an ass. The number of real friends you wind up with in any market in Florida. You make a friend someplace else, very often you have a friend for life. You make a friend in South Florida, and you got a friend for about 5 minutes. You know what I mean by
you
that?
You got a friend for 5 minutes?
Well, 2-3 minutes.
Okay.
A minute? A few seconds.
About 30, man.
Yeah. Tim in Miami says the Phelps case is a perfect opportunity for Obama to push for the legalization or decriminalization of possession and use of marijuana. And what's this with the media identifying the bong as a marijuana pipe? For the record, I've not inhaled, said Tim in Miami. And for the record, Tim, we don't care. We don't want to seem indifferent, but we just don't give a flying fig. Boy, this is, do you have any idea how much pressure this is every Friday?
Yeah, a lot.
I mean, you know, $150 may not be the end of the world, but the way things are now, and who knows, Kevin may be down and out on his luck. He may be a schlepper, or he may have more money than God. Who knows? We don't care. Just happy to be able to help out a little bit. No, nothing from Tommy Jicka. What a backstabbing. And, of course, that could have all been fabricated, too. Who knows? We only got one. Of course, when you got the size audience that Sid the Kid has got, how many people would have heard it, you know?
Yep.
When you have no audience, who's going to hear what kind of crap you're spouting? Oh, well, we're going to get Neil into a big fight on the air. Yeah, sure you are. Who cares about a show that has no audience? See, that would be like somebody getting into a big battle with our 9 to 10 hour
point. Oh!
What's the point? What ethnic style of food is the best? 862 votes. We did leave off Polish. Somebody pointed that out, but they were trying to be cute. You want to put Polish on there?
If you want.
Like Polish sausage? Or do we want to switch the poll?
Do that.
Oh. Which of these would a real man never do? Order a daiquiri, wear Crocs, use body wash, eat quiche, rollerblade, watch soap operas, drive a Prius, wear flip-flops, take dance lessons, cry at a movie, pay for sex, or cosmetic surgery? I don't know. I'll just vote for order a daiquiri. Banana daiquiri. How do you say it? Banana daiquiri. Remember that?
Sure.
Fredo and Michael.
For the Crocs.
Banana daiquiri. Well, I'm getting behind
it. It stinks in Miami town.
Absolutely.
At 560 WQAM.
Bye, bye, bye.